Okay, welcome, councillors. As I've just noted, we do have quite an extensive agenda to get through this evening, so I'm mindful that it's nearly 10 past already. Thank you for taking your seats so promptly. Have we any apologies to note? Councillor Sharvin? Sinead Ennis? Councillor Mark Mernon? Okay, thank you. Councillor Highland, sorry, do you have
a... Sorry, just on that particular point, given the length of the agenda tonight and the number of important issues being raised, do you not think that some of these meetings could be spread over the month rather than having them all in a single night?
Yes. Chairman, I propose that we have at least two and possibly three plenary meetings with the council a month.
Councillors, before we proceed any further, are there any declarations of interest? Councillor Cray. Okay, thank you, Councillor Craig. Councillor Hardick?
I said just on the issue about the agenda, could I ask that the presentation from Transport NI that we take that at a special meeting of the Council, because it's too serious of an issue and it's going to take a long time to discuss it. There's 41 councillors here in this chamber and every councillor will have something to add to that, especially with the sort of condition roads have got into with lack of maintenance and that over the past 6 months, some of the rural roads. I know that it was always a special meeting in Uri and Mourne, and it was a meeting that lasted a number of hours, and it was a meeting where road service came in an hour before the meeting and would meet with councillors on that. And to take this item tonight won't do it any justice. I say that there's 41 councillors to speak on this, and I don't know, the last evening we left here was coming up on 10 o'clock. It'll be 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning if we give this justice, and I'm asking that this report is withdrawn tonight, and that we have a special meeting of the council as soon as possible, and that is a one item on the agenda.
So seconded by Councillor Highland. Sorry, I can't see whose lights are.
Yes, sir. Item number 26, the motion on the wind farms. I'd be absent myself from that as well, for the same reasons already spoken about.
Councillor McKay?
Yes, Chair. I've been saying the same reason the last two councillors. Excuse.
Okay. Another declaration. Councillor. Councillor Andrew?
First of all, I take on board with Councillor Hardy and other councillors have taken on the length and longevity of meetings, etc. But I think on what you call on Transport NI described this presentation tonight, I think on this occasion we couldn't do that because you have officers from Road Service have taken time and trouble to prepare information to come to this council meeting, and I think it's not fair setting them packing and having to come back on another date. That's my personal opinion. I think realistically, We'll have to make do with tonight, but from future occasions, maybe look at another night for presentations by public departments.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Ryan?
Yeah, just the conflict of interest, just the same as the other councillors have indicated.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor McGrath?
Sir, if I get the conflict of interest in the awards of grants on item 7 from the Minister of the Active Healthy Community, and just generally as a grouping, we would be happy enough with Councillor Hardy's suggestion regarding the road service that it's a separate presentation.
Okay. Councillor Hart?
I'll also be leaving for item 26 as a member of the Planning Committee.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Larkin?
Item number 26, I'll be absent myself from that as a member of the Planning Committee.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Brown? Okay. Councillor Walker?
Chair, just picking up on Councillor Andrews in relation to Transport ANI, I think he's totally right. We have officials here in, from Transport ANI who have set aside the today for this. If there are no other items that can be held over to our next meeting and let us proceed with Transport ANI, because we've asked these gentlemen and ladies come along here in relation to these issues. I know a lot of councillors will want to speak on it, but I don't think it's fair on Transport ANI bringing them along and then telling them that, you know, we're not having you tonight. They should have been told at 3 or 4 o'clock today before they come here.
Councillors, on that basis, would we be happy to take the presentation and adjourn and then to come back and look at some of the issues arising from it at a specially convened meeting? Councillor Devlin?
I have a separate and no chair to take everybody else in terms of the planning committee and the wind turbine application.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Loughran?
Thank you. Conflict of interest by number 26. I'm on the planning committee as well.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Brown, sorry, I think you're still lit up. Can... okay, it confused me. Okay, Councillor Hardy.
Chair, in fairness, we have the copy of the presentation ourselves and that, and I feel the presentation should be delivered and the questions and all on the one evening. Like, there's no point in doing half of this now and half of it again. It needs to be agreed a special meeting, and that Transport and I come and deliver, and that every councillor should have an opportunity. Like, a road is in a serious state, very serious issues are, and no councillor should be denied the opportunity to speak on this. And there's no doubt that say all 41 councillors will want to speak. So it's not fair half doing it, that it should be a special meeting, and as I say, it's too serious of an issue, and it should be as soon as possible.
Okay. So we had a proposal then, sure, from Councillor Hardy, and yeah, that was seconded. Councillor Andrews?
As previous years on Down District Council, whenever Road Service made an annual presentation, the clerks would have sent out an email to 23 councillors as well then, just saying that Road Service are going to make a presentation. If you have any questions, please submit them by email, and they'll be forwarded and then dealt with on the night instead of booking beds and for night shift and all. And I think realistically that idea could be taken on board, that councillors in future should have an opportunity, if there is a presentation coming up of Road Service, that there should be an email sent around you. If you have any questions pertinent to your area, send them in and they'll be forwarded on, and it will save a lot of time and take away a lot of concerns that are expressed here tonight. Because as I said before, if people take the time and effort to come to make a presentation and be heard, we should afford them that same courtesy.
Thank you, Councillor. Okay, so we have a proposal and a seconder then, so we're proceeding on that basis. Yes. Simon, thank you once again.
Is everybody agreed?
Is everyone in agreement with the proposal?
There's a couple of things.
Yeah.
You propose it. Sorry. Propose that they postpone the presentation.
There was a proposal put forward by Councillor Hardy and seconded by Councillor Highland that Road Service return on another occasion to make the full presentation and allow for all councillors to have an input into questioning on that occasion, and at the earliest time of convenience for that to happen. So everyone's in agreement then? Simon, thank you very much. I apologise for bringing you out here this evening that you haven't been. Yes, just touch.
Thank you. I do understand the concerns that you all have. This is the first time we've been able to present to the new and large council. I do take a point. We're happy to come back. It's not a problem for us. I do realise that there are a number of roads issues. A lot of roads issues that you want to talk to us about, and we were fully, you know, prepared to do that. We accept you've got a large agenda tonight, and happy to come back at the earliest opportunity. So we want to work with council. We want to be involved. We need to discuss these issues. So yes, okay. It's unfortunate we had to come, but happy to come back.
Thank you, Simon. Okay. Members, as I noted earlier, we do have a very large agenda still to get through. There's quite a number of items. And of course, we have two motions tabled at the end of the session.
Chairman and Councillor Reilly raised the issue over the agendas. Could maybe, would members be agreeable that we take that back and look at the party leaders in terms of the agendas for meetings? Conscious that there is, for two of the meetings, there's actually three sets of meetings, statutory meetings of council for every week. And the call-in procedure means that there needs to be a cooling down period. But maybe the easiest thing to do, Chairman, is to table the list of meetings and the diary of meetings at next party leaders for members to have a look at and to look at some sort of arrangements for presentations from statutory bodies given to as a separate arrangement. If members are happy enough with that?
Happy to proceed, members? Yeah. Thank you. I was just going to note that we do have a number of motions tabled this evening. We did have a third motion, an additional item that was tabled, and in agreement with the member who tabled that item, we have withdrawn it from the agenda tonight following legal advice. So that item is likely to return in the future, but not this evening. So if I can take you on to item number three then, councillors. Action sheet from council meeting.
Chairman, just in terms of, just to pick up a couple of the items, the invite to Glenlough Farm, we're still trying to organise that. The meeting we organised was only able to attend by a small number of councillors given the holiday period, so we're trying to reorganise that at this point in time again. Chairman, in terms of the invitation to the ERTF being dealt with later on, the partnership panel update, Chairman, was submitted on behalf of the council, and at FPNR in August, I'll bring back a note. Myself and Councillor Curran will bring back a note regarding the partnership panel meeting. And the other items, Chairman, are being actioned at this point in time.
Thank you, Liam.
Councillor
Riley?
Yeah, Chairman, I'm very disappointed that the Annalong Harbour issue hasn't been looked at all, despite sending emails to the people involved. Don't even get a return to your email. What is wrong with this council? At least under Neary and Moore, Tom McCall, bang, as soon as he got it, he got your reply. Eddie Curtis, Jim McCrory, we just seem to be sidelined and forgot about in this council. Maybe it's just me, but certainly I'm not happy with it at all. You know, that Annalong gate should be a very, very simple issue to resolve, and yet here we are into the early July and still no movement on it whatsoever. Very, very disappointed, Madam Chair. The tourism meeting that Terry Hardy brought up, has it been organised yet? You know, the special meeting about it, we're on one of it roads now. You know, just very, very disappointing, so it is.
Chair, maybe I'll pick up the issue over down along Harbour. As Professor Reilly has been informed, it's an insurance issue and we're dealing with it through our insurers. So that hasn't been resolved yet, Chairman. And in terms of the tourism meeting, Marie? So there'll be a meeting, Chairman, of the tourism subgroup set up between tonight's meeting and the next meeting of the committee, Chairman, after ratification of tonight.
Yeah. Madam Chair, thanks for that reply from the Chief Executive, but no, we can't accept that, Liam, because we all know it's an insurance issue on the gate, the storm gate, that was dislodged by a storm and the insurance issues are ongoing. The issue that I wanted resolved was getting the pontoon in. Now, Councillor McKee, Councillor Hannah, Councillor Quinn, everybody who knows anything about this knows that there's no danger to putting that pontoon in. And all we needed was permission from the insurance company. Not, there's no money involved in this, apart from a lot of pounds that actually set it in with a crane. And yet, we can't even organise something like that. You know, let us go to the insurance company and explain these issues and the importance to the community. If you aren't interested in the community, that's okay. But don't penalise councillors. Get your act together. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Councillor Ryan.
It's just in relation to the visit to the wind farm. It's just, could I ask that in doing that, Liam, that we take into account the community and we have some sort of a delegation as whatever way that can be facilitated as part of that visit?
Chairman, I think the issue was to try and deal with two separate issues
I forwarded on the details of the community to the developer of the wind farm to make arrangements with the community to organise a meeting, you know, an individual meeting to attend that. I don't know what that's going to, but I'll follow up with with the developer.
Could we use our influence as a council to make sure that happens then as best we can?
Thank you, Councillor. Okay, so moving on to the minutes then. For accuracy, go through them page by page. Sorry, Councillor Milbury.
Yeah. I see in the minutes of our meeting on the 1st of June, we had requested that the council officers would have a meeting with the developers of Bell's Castle. I know that they have been home quite recently, and I think it's very important, bearing in mind the significance that new development is going to have to all of the people of South Armagh and tourism and job creation, that meeting takes place and that the councillors are informed. I do know that some MLAs have had meetings, but it was asked at a council meeting that would take place. So perhaps we could have an update as to when that meeting is going to happen and are councillors going to be invited, because it is an area that has significant issues and also has fantastic potential. So I would just like an update. Have you had that meeting? Are we being invited? What's happening?
Chairman, the developer met with myself and again at the request of an MLA.
Mm-hmm.
We've asked for now a meeting, which we hope to have in September when the developer's back on to that point in time.
It's just a pity that that was requested by us on the 1st of June, and you know that the developer was home and has been allowed to go back to Australia without us availing of his time here on this occasion. You know that we're going to have to leave now to September. You know, we asked for it 5-6 weeks ago, and it's a bit ridiculous that he has been and gone and another opportunity missed. But there you have it.
Very unfortunate indeed. Okay, so on to the minutes. Councillors, for accuracy, I'm just going to go through them page by page. So I'm working from a paper copy. I'm aware some of you may be going from the IT agenda, so if you try and bear with me. Page number 5 in the paper copy. Page number 6. Page number 7, page number 8, page number 9, page number 10, page number 11, page number 12, page number 13, page number 14, page number 15, page number 16, page number 17, page number 18, page number 19, page number 20, page 21. Need a proposer and a seconder for the minutes, please. Proposed by Councillor Patrick Clark, seconded by Councillor Garth Craig. Thank you, Councillor.
Chair.
Who's looking in? Councillor Quinn?
Yes, Chair, thank you. And it's great the way that you're able to follow the minutes, but as this council set out to be a paperless council, and most of the councillors are following these things on the iPad, perhaps we could have the page number from the iPad.
Okay, I totally appreciate that, Councillor Quinn. Unfortunately, I've run out of battery today because I've been out of the building most of the afternoon working. If you can pull that up beside you. I'll try my best to work between Liam's iPad and my paper copy for your convenience.
Sorry, could I suggest then that maybe this councillor could have a laptop available to the chairperson? So the chairperson will be able to maintain the paperless.
I don't think that's quite necessary, Councillor Quinn.
Just for here in the
now building. That it's been brought to my attention, I'll ensure that at the next full council meeting I have both agendas. Thank you. Okay, on to item number 5 then, councillors. Again, for accuracy. So again, working from the paper copy, page number 22, and we'll go through it page by page for accuracy first. Page 22. Page 23, page 24. Yes, we're on item number 5, which is the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee meeting.
Not that minute yet.
We're only on agenda number 5. Okay, no problem. Okay. So we're on page number 24 for those with hard copies and page number 3 for those following the IT copy. Page 25, page 26, page 27. Councillors, please, I would ask for your cooperation. It's not difficult to follow. We're on agenda number... Okay, sorry. No, I've made quite clear, Councillor Riley, we're on agenda item number 5, and that doesn't change between your paper copy and your IT copy. Page 28, page 29, page, excuse me, page 30. Enough, please, councillors. Page 31, page 32, page 33, page 34, page 35, page 36, page 37, Councillors, listen, the agendas were sent out quite some time ago. Each of you will have considerable period to have gone through it and taken out any issues which you wanted to raise this evening. We do have quite an extensive agenda to get through this evening, and I'm not going to wait on your iPad uploading every singular page for us to get through it. As I said, you've had the agenda for quite some time. If there are any issues that you wanted to raise, you would have had them coming into the meeting this evening. So we've gone through the minutes for accuracy. Members, I need a proposer and a seconder. Proposed by Councillor Dermot Kern, seconded by Councillor Mark Kerr. Thank you. Sorry, Councillor McAteer, you're lit
up there. Okay, thanks. Yeah, it was just on page 9, just at Narwater and Greencastle. Could I just note the fact that in between the meetings, the resolution of some sort has been achieved in that as of today, Narwater and Greencastle are both open to the public, and that has come about by cooperation between our own officials and the NAEA, and we hope to develop that. So that's a good news story. So if we can keep that cooperation going, it'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Parr.
Yes, Chair. It's just a reference to the Warren Pine Park Heritage Lottery Regeneration Project and the agreement there to go ahead and seek planning permission, etc. I do welcome the funding coming towards Warren Pine. Do not want to do anything to hold up the project, but I've already highlighted a number of concerns that I have reference the design of the park, and particularly access to the park, and I think that it could cause us problems when we go looking for the planning application, and I just want it recorded that I have concerns about that. I still think it's time to reflect on those before the application goes in, but I want that as a matter of record recorded that I do have some problems there.
Thank
particularly
you.
The entrance onto Queen Street in Warren Pine.
Your comments will be noted. Thank you. Councillor Byrne.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, on the hard copy, page 36, Irish Open Legacy Event, note that there was no figures yet ready for a report to share. Could I just ask that possibly when that report is ready that it could be shared among all the councillors? And certainly most people will be interested to see those that were there and what a successful it was.
Thank you, Chair.
Yep. That's just been agreed then, Councillor Burns, okay? Okay, so I had a proposer and a seconder for that item, so we're going to move on to item number 6, the Minutes of the Strategy. Sorry, Councillor Hyland, apologies, I can't see the back row, I apologise.
Just on the page 37 on the East Border region and a visit to Belgium, it was my understanding that we were trying to get as many members, because there are new members on the East Border region, I think 90% of them are new, that we were trying to get all the members to that. So we're going to keep the three, I've read it on my mistake.
Okay, thank you, Councillor.
Sure.
Councillor Clark.
Sure, just very briefly, in regard to the Grand Fondo, I think it would be appropriate to send a letter of thanks to the Mourne Heritage Trust, because I think they facilitated in regards to their refreshment stops, litter collection and other organisational efforts. So I propose we send a letter of thanks.
Seconded by Councillor Burns. Thank you, Councillors. That's just been accepted. Okay, so moving on then, Councillors, to item number 6, the minutes of the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 11th June. So just for accuracy, once again, I'll go through it page by page. So page number 1, page number 2, page number 3, page number 4, page number 5, page number 6, page number 7, page number 8, page number 9, page number 10, page number 11, page number 12, page number 13, page 14, page 15, page 16, page 17, and page 18. For accuracy, proposer and seconder? Proposed by Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor O'Murray. Councillor Casey?
Yeah, it's just an item arising on that. It's page 64 on the hard copy. It's about the Newry Community Care and Treatment Centre. There was some suggestion that the group coordinating that on behalf of the developer were looking to come again to this council, to make a further presentation, having made 3 or 4 at the Legacy Council. Now, I know the Legacy Councillors did take a decision at that time that the land at Jennings Park was not for sale. So I don't see any point in this particular group coming to make a further presentation. And I propose we send them a letter saying, listen, thanks, but no thanks. The decision is already taken.
Seconded by Councillor Hyland.
Just Chairman, just to advise some members in terms of there has been a request on Friday for, because the UIP is coming up at the council meeting today to come to the committee, and Councillor Case is right, they'd asked to do a special presentation, and I said I'd raise it tonight when it was raised. I'm conscious that this is also has to be dealt with under paragraph 3 of the schedule, so we don't want to get in-depth discussion, but again, they had made an offer to come and do a presentation, if members so desired.
Councillor Casey, you're light. Thank you. Councillor Stokes.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I would concur with Councillor Hyland and Councillor Casey on that, and certainly we thought that issue was dealt with. But on a separate issue, Chair, page 15 on relation to the Union Civic Centre.
Councillor Stokes, do you mind? We're just going to hold off just a second. I'd like to deal with that issue first that Councillor Casey proposed. And we had a seconder from Councillor Hyland. Is everyone in agreement that we don't have a presentation? Yeah.
It's in relation to they wish to make a presentation in relation to the purchase of the land at Jennings Park, Chairman.
Okay, everyone in agreement?
Yeah.
Yep, happy to proceed. Okay, Councillor Stokes, sorry.
The committee chair dealt with the Newry Civic Centre, just in terms of the appointment of that consultant, would it be possible for the terms of reference for the consultant to be circulated to councillors or something?
On that issue, Chairman, the terms of reference and the brief for the appointment for consultants has been finalised at the moment. I'll be running those past the CEO within the next 10 to 12 days, Chairman. So immediately after that, subject to the acceptance of the council, that is in order. But Chairman, I would have to say it would be for the terms of reference. It would be not suitable, and it would not be legally right for the council to pass out the actual brief at this stage, sir. But for the terms of reference, that would be okay.
Councillor Riley.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I was wanting to know, is Mr. Lipsett now the director in charge of active and healthy communities?
Yes, Chair.
Yes, that's correct.
He is formally the director now.
Yeah.
Yep. No, it's just I seen it on the Down News website, but nobody had told me, so I'm glad to learn that. The other thing is that service level agreement on warmth. Can you explain in detail what that is, what that includes? And the same for health related services. What's the degree of involvement in that service level agreement?
Well, what page number are you referring to, Henry?
It was the service level agreement on health and warmth. WARMTH, and the other one was Health Related Services.
We're on a different set of minutes altogether. We haven't come to the item Henry, we haven't come to your the item that you're referring to yet, so when we get there you can raise it. Can I have a proposer and seconder then for the minutes, please? Councillors, proposer and seconder for the minutes. Proposed by Councillor Highland. Seconded by Councillor Clark. Thank you. Okay, on to item number 7, the minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities Committee.
Sorry, Chairman, just there's some actions in terms of names regarding to the number of the committees. Just probably to pick up on some of the items of the agenda items out of the SPNR members at this point in time, was just to advise that the chair, the agreement at the party leaders, it was referred back to party leaders to deal with the chairman for the PCSP. So the agreed arrangements was Sinn Féin would be year one, SDLP would be year two, DUP would be year three, and UUP would be year four. So Sinn Féin will nominate the chairman of the PCSP for this year.
Sorry,
yeah.
Someone else has lit up. Are you looking in, Cadogan? From the last item that we were dealing with?
No, we're not on the
Sorry, go ahead, Councillor Harding.
Chair, I'm proposing Councillor Mickey Larkin for chair of the PCSP for Sinn Féin for this year.
Seconded by Councillor Rayam. Thank you.
Chairman, then Naomi, let me go through, or Aileen, go through the list of the other committees that were to get members from and was discussed at the party leaders. So, let me
Chairman. Okay, thanks, everybody who has submitted names to me, and apologies if any names have not, that I don't call out any names that have come through. The first one on the list, and this list has been circulated to all the party representatives, and the first one was the Equality and Good Relations Reference Group, and I'm still waiting for a Sinn Féin nomination. Councillor Hardy. I have the SDLP nomination being Terry Andrews. The DUP, thank you, the UUP as David Taylor. The Alliance will be Councillor Brown, UKIP Councillor Riley, the Independent Councillor Highland, Councillor Bailey on as Chair, and Councillor Gillian Fitzpatrick as Deputy Chairperson, that Equality and Good Relations Reference Group. Moving on then to the Member Working Group on Organisational Improvements and Efficiency. The chairs of ERT, AHC, SPR, RTS and Planning are all already on this. That was agreed in your SPR minutes. A nomination then for Sinn Féin on the Improvements and Efficiencies Group.
Post Councillor Willie Clark.
I have Councillor Colin McGrath, and for DUP. And for UUP, I have Harold McKay, and then one representative from the smaller parties. Kevin McTier. Thank you. The Project Board for Economic Regeneration, Vision and Investment Strategy. Two Sinn Féin, Councillor Willie Clark and Councillor Terry Hurty. Two SDLP, Councillors Brian Quinn and Dermot Curran. One DUP, Councillor Glyn Hanna. One UUP, Councillor Robert Burgess. For the famine commemoration, two Sinn Féin, Councillors Valerie Hart and Mickey Ruan. SDLP, Councillors Declan McAteer and Gary Stokes. DUP, Councillor Harry Harvey. One UUP, Harold McKay. For the Ring of Gullion Management Group,
recommended by the SPR committee that it would be all Slieve Gullion councillors. For the sports association, I know that everybody, the council has already agreed there would be 7 councillors, 1 from each DEA, and a party representative forum to discuss Sinn Féin having 2 members, SDLP having 2, DUP having 1, UUP having 1, and the Independents having 1. They need to be spread across the 7 DEAs. The name of Councillor Harold McKay for the Mourns DEA has been submitted. Councillor Hardy, are you looking in?
I just to nominate for that for Slieve Gullion. I'd like to nominate Councillor Barrow Murray. And for Steve Cobb, Councillor Stevie Burns.
Councillor Highland?
Yeah, just on the Falmouth Commemoration Committee, I was just wondering why was no independent member on that particular committee?
Would have been a decision taken. Councillor McGrath.
Thank you, Chair. For the Sports Association, could we nominate Councillor Declan McAteer for Crotlieve and Councillor Gareth Sharvin for Dunpatrick?
That leaves the DEAs of Murray and Rowallan. Councillor Craig. Sorry, Councillor Colin, can you just take your light? Thank you.
So that would leave an independent available for the Newry DEA.
Okay.
So Chairman, just to run through them there,
yeah.
Is for Crotlieve, Councillor Declan McAteer, Ben Patrick Gareth Sharvin, Murray Davy Highland, Councillor Billy Walker for Rowallan, Councillor Stephen Burns for Slieve Croob, Councillor Barrow Murray for Slieve Gullion, and Councillor Harvey McKee for the Mourns. I think that just covers it, isn't it?
Then the Murray and Mourne Travellers Forum. The 3 councillors who you appointed at the AGM to the Local Government Partnership on Travellers are automatically on this. They are Councillor Kimmins, Councillor McAteer has swapped with Councillor Brown, and Councillor Gary Stokes. At Party Representatives Forum, discussion was that the remaining 3 members be taken up by 1 Sinn Féin, 1 SDLP, and 1 member representing either DUP or UUP. The SDLP name put forward has been Declan McAteer. Sinn Féin.
I put forward Councillor Charlie Casey.
Thank you. Moving on then to the Strangford Lough and Lochal Partnership. 2 councillors, party representatives did discuss the possibility of councillors Burgess and Enright for 1 year. The SDLP are suggesting Councillor Gareth Sharvin, and the Independents have put forward again this evening Councillor Enright.
Chair, could I confirm that we are happy to withdraw Councillor Burgess' name at this stage for that position?
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Hardy?
Chair, that's for the Strangford Lough Partnership. I would like to nominate yourself, Chair, for that.
And is Councillor Enright agreed then?
Could I just clarify, is there still a position there for DUP, UUP?
There are two.
It's two vacancies. It's a cross council partnership. So we nominate 2, and Ards and North Down nominate 2. So it's a matter of 2 councillors, Chairman.
So we're seeking two names, Chairman.
At this point in time, we have three nominations: Councillor Kerry Harrigan, Councillor Gareth Sharvin, and Councillor Cadogan Enright.
Yeah, I would like to also nominate Councillor Walker.
Sorry, it's Naomi.
Chairman, the normal procedure is you take a vote on the site. You can, sir.
Councillor Enright, let you in there.
I'm just disappointed that the group leaders meeting decision seems to have been somehow abandoned. I mean, we did agree that it would be myself and Councillor Burgess, and if he didn't want it, then it would be Naomi at the group leaders meeting. I just feel that by gazumping the group leaders meeting, we devalue any compromises that the group leaders will reach. And it seems to me that Councillor Burgess did withdraw in favour of Naomi, and at this stage now to have a contest for something that was agreed at the group leaders meeting would be a bad thing for the group leaders meeting.
Thank you, Councillor Harding.
My Chairman, if we get an agreement on that it's here about, that there's an opportunity for all of the parties to serve on this, can we do that?
Chairman, you can take a proposal on it, take that there as a sort of task.
Chairman, I would propose that we do that, that we give that opportunity, and if people agree to that, I can withdraw Naomi for this year, and let Councillor Enright, you know, if Naomi gets an opportunity next year.
You're happy to proceed on that basis?
We'd be happy enough to, if it's going to rotate, and I suppose it does just underscore that the party representatives forum isn't a decision making body, it's only an informational workshop, so the decisions that are not binding.
So Chairman, is it agreement then, and just to write it down, is that we have Councillor Enright and Councillor Sharvin in year one, and then Councillor Walker in year two, and then year three it'll go back to Councillor Enright and Councillor Sharvin, and year four then it'll be Councillor Bailey and Councillor Walker. Is that members agreeable enough for that?
Yeah, I'm happy enough for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, so we're working that basis then, Chairman, and we'll take it forward, okay?
Everyone in agreement? Yes. The next appointment then is the Northern Ireland Museums Council, and the council is entitled to put forward one councillor, and this is for a 3-year term.
The party rep speaking, I proposed the name of Robert Burgess, because I know that Robert has served in this committee for a number of years now. He's been a very active participant on the committee, and he takes a very keen interest in it. And I would propose that he continues in that role.
Seconded by Councillor McGrath. Okay, all in agreement, yes. Mm-hmm. Moving on then to the Rural Community Network. Currently, two councillors are on that, and again, the party representatives discussed the possibility of those two councillors remaining, and they are Councillor Hardy and Declan
McAteer. That's wrong. Sorry, Chair.
McAteer.
I thought I had a clarification that.
Sorry, just one second, Councillor McAteer. Can I please ask councillors to be respectful when other councillors are contributing? It's very difficult, particularly when we're sitting up here and officials are making reports. It's very difficult when there's a number of conversations going on around the chamber. There are 41 of you here. Please have a bit of respect. Councillor McAteer.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just a clarification at RCN. I just have to say to the Chief Executive, where did that come out of? Is that a request by the RCN? It's a new thing, is it? But I know.
Chairman, we RCN contacted us because it was nominations were made under the old council, and they told us you have two councillors serving that there, and they're looking for agreement that them two councillors remain in the RCN. So
I understood that Kerry heard there's only one position for the whole of Northern Ireland on it for councillors, and Kerry, I was on it the previous year. We just happened to, this way it worked out. We were only councillors, but I understand that.
I don't know, Chairman. All we can do is take the advice from the RCA, and that's it was them that contacted
us. It is a new departure. But anyhow, sorry, Chair. Can I just say that I'm a board member of the RCA.
We did have correspondence with them, and they wrote back and they said the RCN's board is made up of representatives from the community sector. Two from the Northern Ireland voluntary sector and one from the statutory, statutory representative. The statutory members of RCN were asked to nominate and elect one member to the board for a two-year period, October 14 to October 16. Following the election, Muireann Mohan chose to nominate Councillor Hertie. He currently sits on our board representing the statutory sector of Northern Ireland. I understand that the council has changed, but there is no problem if Councillor Hertie still wishes to remain on the RCN board, or if the council wished to nominate somebody else. Declan McAteer was the previous statutory board member, also nominated from Muireann Mohan, and is currently co-opted onto RCN board for the current two-year term, rather than being a statutory representative. Yeah.
I think just grabbing agreement that Councillor Hardy would then continue to represent on it. Yep.
Any more, Eileen?
Yes.
Sorry to disappoint. The Carlingford Lough Commissioners, the Council can appoint two councillors. The SDLP have put forward the name of Gillian Fitzpatrick. UUP have put forward Harold McKay.
Chair, I would like to nominate Councillor Mickey Rowan.
Hit your light there again, Terry. Sorry. Thank you.
We only can get two representatives, so we need a positive vote, Jim. Councillor Henley.
Councillor Henley.
I propose Councillor Henry Riley for that.
I'll second it.
So we've got Councillor Councillor Gillian Fitzpatrick proposed to the SDLP, Councillor Harold McKay proposed to the Unionists, Councillor Mickey Rowan proposed by the Sinn Féin, and Councillor Riley proposed by Janet Finlay.
Chair, could I ask if we got agreement of all for all of these committees without any votes or any aggravation yet? Can we do similar with this? Can this be spread out over a term that will give all an opportunity to do a year on it?
Maybe try to go back and see, could it be spread over a period of time if members are content with that? If they want to arrange to spread it out, Chairman.
Okay. Yeah. Can you have agreement, huh?
That's probably going to be dependent on the tenure, so we'll just name it.
Sure, I'll follow that, Bob, and bring it back to the next council meeting.
Okay.
And the final one then is diversity champions. Sinn Féin having one member, as discussed by the party representatives, as they suggested way forward. Sinn Féin one member, SDLP one member, DUP, UUP one member. And the SDLP have suggested Brian Quinn.
Chair, I'd like to nominate Councillor Rosie Mulgrew for that.
Councillor Craig. And the fourth representative then is recommended as being Colin Moffat, the Equality Officer. Okay, everyone in agreement? Happy to proceed.
Chairman, just maybe take a proposal in a second for all them there and the changes previously agreed, Councillor McAteer and Councillor Brown.
Proposed, Chair.
Proposed by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor Taylor. Thank you. Okay, on to item number 7,
on the agenda, the minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities Committee meeting held on the 15th of June. So I'll go through them for accuracy one by one. So page number one, page number two.
Chairperson, I was at that meeting and I actually brought up the fact that Camogie certainly should be represented separately from the GA. Generally, in my opinion, Hurley should be represented as well. The GA is a confederation of sports, not a sport in itself.
Is this a matter of accuracy, Councillor?
Yeah, I think I incorrectly identified Camogie as being belonging to the GA, and Camogie deserves a separate representation, and I don't think the committee understood that, and I wanted to raise it at full council, you know? I think it's important that the women in sports have a voice, and Camogie needs a voice. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. So, continuing on then for accuracy, page number three, page number four, page number five, page number six. Can I have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Harvey, seconded by Councillor Timmins.
Chairman, that point is included in the Councillor, it was between sporting organisations. For example, GA should be separate between hurling and Camogie and football, and should have represented from all sports. And that's on page 78.
Chair, I can make a comment. There was a discussion took place regarding this, but it was made very clear that the members present were happy with the proposals as it stood. I think you start at the interest press and start picking and choosing different sports before you end up. So we had an agreement about where the committee would be set up, and there was no. And Councillor Enright is right, he did raise a number of concerns about it, but them concerns were explained, and a decision was made that we proceed as was agreed previously.
And I think the concerns are reflected in the minutes, Councillor Enright. Okay, so moving on to item number eight, Councillors. Councillor Kimmins, just first, Councillor.
Just before we move on, just here on the second call for financial assistance, now that we've approved that, when will we get a list of who has been successful?
Chairman, I should be aware the call-in procedure operates as from the council meeting tonight. So 5 days after the council meeting tonight, then we will issue the letters of offer because there will be a call-in period. So we would imagine that people would get their letters of offer on following Monday.
Chair, could I ask? Yes, on capital schemes, I think on them all, did we get a list out of those, of the successful ones?
No, Chairman. In order to keep the level of objectivity, it's scored on the basis of scores, so you don't get the names. The names will be released. We will send, as we did with the other financial assistance, a list of all the groups that received the grant aid will be sent to councillors at the same time as it's been sent out in terms of the after the call-in procedure.
Yeah, no, it seems rather strange that we're approving something that we don't know really what we've approved or who we've approved. I mean, all right, we're getting sort of feedback from some unsuccessful people who haven't had an opportunity really to go over them as we would previously have done before we were approving. Now we're approving them before. We don't know what we're approving.
Chairman, you approve a scheme on the basis of facts and figures in terms of the agreement matrix you've done on with them. I'm not all over this here, but the reason why it's anonymized is you base the score on the basis of an objective analysis of the project. So by knowing the name, that brings a level of subjectivity into it, which is excluded. So therefore, if you base it on the pure objective information, then it gives members an opportunity for the campy saying being certain bias to one project over another project.
Given that, Chair, can I have a copy or certainly guidance that was used to do that, so that anybody who contact me, I can appraise that. And I presume anybody who raised objection to the call-in, then we'll be going through that, matching the criteria with the outcome. Is that right?
Sure. Maybe bring in the officers, Michael or Sonia.
Just to clarify the whole procedure, because I've another notion to be quite inundated with
requests for clarity and appeal.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, once the applicants are notified, if they have been unsuccessful, or indeed even if they have been successful, they can ask for feedback on the application form and where they scored well or where they didn't score well enough. And if they're not content with that, then there's an appeals procedure. This is all done against the criteria which the Council set out previously and the criteria which the Council said we want these applications to be scored against. So they will get feedback based on that, absolutely.
Thank you, Michael. Looking back in, Councillor.
Yes, Chair, I've been in contact with me in the first instance, yeah.
Thank you. Councillor Byrne.
Chair, just to say on that whole financial assistance programme, I think there's a few interesting points to note, and I sympathise with the previous speaker, because from a council perspective, we've all got local groups set us, and they all want to know, especially when there's money involved, and they'll all contact us. But we made a decision not to get involved with the groups per se. We as councillors set the scoring matrix and set the operation, if you want, and process. And now we have to deal with the results of that. And the one clear thing that came out of the meeting at the time was that there was 540, I think, applications or something in and around that, and roughly about 33% of them got funded. So that means that we have a massive problem in our district with capacity building for our groups, and it has led us to the conclusion now, certainly at Active and Healthy Communities, the feeling was that the next job of work will not be so much about giving out money to groups, it's about going down, meeting them groups, and seeing where they're falling down with their applications, and seeing what we can do to assist them. Because it's not about the money that they draw down from this council. We have to build the capacity of these groups so they can draw down money from all the various organisations, because we can't continue to fund groups at the levels that we fund previously. We all know that. So we're trying to build the capacity and build the groups up so they can pull down their own money. So, I mean, what we've done here, the money we've given out, it's a good news story for this council. It really is. And I think credit goes not so much to Michael, no offence, Michael, but to Sonia, because she's personally driven this project from the top. So I think the important message tonight is that it's a real good news story for the district that we put this money out, but there's so much more for us to do. And we'd encourage all the groups to appeal if they think that we're wrong and to seek feedback from the council, because that's vital.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor McGrath.
So just on the procedural issue, if we don't know the names of the groups until after the call-in procedure, how would we activate the call-in procedure if there was an issue with the number of groups? What, you know, is there an inbuilt mechanism within the process, for example, for equality? So, for example, if 100% of the groups that actually got the money were all GAA clubs, then obviously members of the other side of the community might not be happy and therefore would have to trigger the call-in procedure, but they wouldn't be able to because we've waited until is that built into the process? Just for, because I know that councillors have kind of set the criteria, but I think that we're all capable maybe at the council meeting stage of getting a list of them just so that we know that there aren't any problems from that position onward.
Michael, can you pick up on that?
Yes, Chairman, if you just give me 1 second.
When Sonia's talking, the report, I haven't got a copy of the report that was presented, but calling can operate in two ways. First of all, procedurally, there's an issue over the procedures, so in terms of how it's been done, or the calling can operate in terms of disadvantaged on community. My understanding was that the report showed that there was the geographical spread, the community spread across the area, which demonstrated that there was a cross community spread on that. But maybe, Sonia, you want to pick up on that?
Members, as part of the report, what we included, as Liam has outlined, was the breakdown of the spread of successful applicants once they had went through the process. In addition to that, every applicant, as Michael has outlined, has an opportunity to undertake the council's review process, which is in two stages. The first stage provides people with the opportunity for a debrief, which gives them an outline of where their application was good, but also where it could have benefited, you know, from some more detail. So that's a capacity building element in itself. If they're still not satisfied, the group can then make representation to the council, where officers independent of the original process will undertake an appeal, and that allows the applicant then within the 21 days an opportunity to come back and have feedback. So we've tried to cover all bases through those two processes.
Thank you, Sonia.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to raise my concern that we're walking ourselves into equality and discriminatory practices with our proposals for the Sports Association. I'm strongly involved in water sports in this area. There's 15 water sports at least organized in this area, and I can see a scenario where 15 water sports would be represented on the Sports Association, each one with a total membership that would be less than one Camogie club, and Camogie not being represented. You could say the same for track and field. How many track and field organizations are there being for different track and field sports? So when you're talking about water sports or GAA sports or track and field sports, you have to be consistent right across it. I mean, we need to be inviting, therefore, all the sports organizations to nominate a single person to represent water sports in this district in order to be compatible with what we've done to the GAA. And certainly, Camogie is organised as a separate organisation outside of the GAA. We need to think about this.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Riley.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I know that Councillor Burns has given a glowing resume of the way that the financial assistance grants have been handled, but again, that went through this council on a wink and a nod and a very packed agenda. And I think that the way that the councils used to do it, where councillors were involved and had a degree of discretion based on professional advice from officers, it was actually a good system. And some of the awards that we've seen this year are quite frankly bizarre. They're hard to work out. And I would have certainly thought that councillors should have been involved at some stage, even so as we could get an explanation of how these decisions were reached. You know, I know that this was clean money from the ratepayers, and that does allow councils that degree of discretion, whereby we seem to have just adopted the sort of P3, very, very stringent formula that excludes a lot of very good organisations that would ordinarily be eligible if it was the council that was doing it. So I'm actually disappointed with the way the whole thing's panned out, and you know, I think there's a lot of good groups that have been denied funding that should have got it. But I suppose we'll have to go along with the greater view of the council.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Carr.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And it's just, I suppose, went down memory lane there somewhat when Michael was talking about challenges and appeals. Michael said that you could make an appeal against the procedure. So, and I remember in days going by in Uriah Moore, and you could only appeal whether the procedure was followed. Sonia then said, I think, that there would be an appeal mechanism for each individual one where you would eventually send it to an independent group of officers. Is that right? So that's to look at the scoring in each of the sections on a sheet. See, that we could never do that before. We could only say, did it follow the right procedure? And if like every other application was scored and went through that whole procedure, and the procedure was all right, then there was no other reason for appeal. You couldn't appeal the scores or how the scheme was measured. So there is an appeal system in it now.
Okay, Chair, then what the council had agreed as part of the new financial assistance procedure was, one was the application process and the scoring matrix that went along with that, and then the second thing that was adopted by council was the review procedure. The review procedure takes place in two stages. Applicants have the opportunity to have a debrief within 14 days of the receipt of their letter, or the date of their letter. Now, I have to be honest, most applicants, we do encourage them to undertake that, because that means we go through each stage. There's three criteria within the application. We go through that, we give them full feedback on where their application was good in many instances, what could have been enhanced in some ways to increase their score. So that's the first stage. If applicants do that within 14 days of that feedback, they're able to come back to the council and ask for an appeal. Most of them decide once they've had the debrief, they then understand where they could improve their application, and actually we have found don't go to appeal because that's built their capacity and they're satisfied with that response. The second stage is the actual full appeal, and that is done independent of the original panel, so you have an outside view on the process. It is done on two bases as per the review procedure that was adopted. One is was the procedure followed, and the second one, was it a reasonable decision? So those are the two bases on which applicants. What we do then for all unsuccessful applicants, we include a copy of the review procedure with their unsuccessful letter and all contact details. So we try to make the process as easy as possible for them, and again, try and give them feedback so they can make future applications.
Thank you, Councillor Carr. No? Okay, so we have a proposer and a seconder for that set of minutes, so we're moving on then, councillors, to item number 8. And it's the minutes of the Regulatory and Technical Services Committee held on the 17th of June. So again, for accuracy, one by one, and then I'll need a proposer. Sorry, Councillor, when was your lighting system? You haven't been using the lighting system. Okay, so page by page then for accuracy, item number 8. So page number 1, page number 2, page number 3, page number 4, page number 5, page number 6, page number 7, page number 8, page number 9, page number 10, page number 11. Can I have a proposer and seconder? Councillor Andrews, you listening?
As chairman of that committee, I would like to propose them as an act of record, and in particularly the presentation that was given by the Rivers Agency that day, and I hope that the attachments to the minutes are found useful by those that, you know, in the future. Hopefully nothing will happen sudden again, but at least it was a good presentation that day, so I would propose them as an accurate record.
Thank you, Councillor. Do you have a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Hanna. Thank you. Any matters arising?
Sure, I know we have a big agenda. I'll try to be brief. iPads, page 10, hard copy, page 92. It's staff issues for the recycling sites. I understand this was raised, and I'm aware of it myself, about operating on some of our amenity sites. And it's towards the end of the day that we can be left with one member of staff. Now, considering the heavy machinery that's on there, and the opportunity or the eventuality that there's a conflict with people in general on these sites, can we have a look and see if there is an issue there or whether it's just been blown out of proportion? I know there was a problem in Castle Allen at one stage, and it was caused by some members of the travelling community who moved into the nearby Barn Road area, and our staff felt a little bit vulnerable. And possibly if we were looking into this, we could look at the likes of the opening hours. I'm not sure if we've amalgamated all opening hours from amenity sites. I presume that we have at this stage, but we should have data. There's cameras and there's tonnage figures there about what's the best opening hours to get the maximum usage out of our centres. So if rather than have maybe staff sitting there, one person sitting there on their own at night, you know, if we're not getting the vehicles through, should we have a night that we open late and other nights that we close? It's just, I'm not suggesting making changes at this stage, rather than we just bring back a wee report and have a look at it.
Thank you, Councillor Burns. Thomas, is there any issues there you'd like to pick up on?
Could I just have a copy of that, Thomas? Could you send it over? Thanks.
Review of all the HRC sites in the next 9 months, so that's part of our plan to review them all.
Thank you, Thomas.
Chair.
Councillor Craig.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I wasn't a member of that committee, but attended. It was the item to do with bus shelters, and it's on page 6, where there's going to be a review of policy, because we had a classic example of a bus shelter in Clough, which had the approval of Transport NI and also TransLink, and yet because there was no respondents to the, you know, to the
consultation
of the work, Chair. Yes, thank you. And my point was essentially that if people haven't a problem with it, there's no incentive to reply. But there was other issues to do with the current policy as well. It's just how soon, because obviously it's quite an important matter, this. It's just how soon we could have a review of the policy. Was the question, Chair.
Thomas, can I pass that over to you again? Okay, happy enough. Okay, thank you. Councillors, on to item number 9 then, minutes of the Planning Committee meeting.
For noting, sorry.
Apology.
Chair, could I raise an issue on that?
Oh, Councillor Hardy, yes.
Aye. Chair, just I'm trying to be careful in what I say here, but a real serious concerns around the Planning Committee issues. I had a phone call from a constituent to tell me 2 days after a pre-meeting that Willie Clark is Sinn Féin turned down their application. I know it's not the first time it happened, and I know on a number of occasions here where agents had rung councillors to tell them what happened at meetings. Ever before I've come to the councillors. And it's a real dangerous road we're going down here. And I'm told there's challenges right across the different councils on this, from the commissioner as such, but it's real dangerous stuff that's coming out of this. And I don't know where we go with it when councillors do the training and they sign up to the code of conduct and they go in and put an awful time and effort into those meetings and they have to make decisions. You know, And that's what they have to do. And then when however it's been done, that people have been phoned, told what happened at those meetings, agents have been told. It's really dangerous stuff. But the situation here where I was told that within 2 days of a pre-meeting that Willie Clark is Sinn Féin rejected their application. That's the road we're going down here now. Is it the case that councillors are going to go into those meetings and sit on their hands and no decisions made? But I think I'd like the chief executive of the council to look into this and to say, and I'm not naming anyone at this stage here. All I'm saying to councillors, it's a dangerous road to go.
Chairman, Councillor Hardy has raised this issue with me, and certainly, as members will know, members of the Planning Committee know, I arranged another session with Code of Conduct for members of the Planning Committee, which was arranged last Friday, which got into a fair bit of detail in terms of the role of councillors. Again, I think member councillors will say is that it's only when you're on the Planning Committee and serve on it for 3 or 4 months that you actually start to get a feeling for the level of complexity that's involved in terms of it. They also, too, Chairman, I'm making an arrangement for the Commissioner of Complaints to come and do a presentation to the Council in autumn, again, just to deal with issues that has been raised with him. So, again, members are fully aware, but I would make the point again that I made it at the Council meeting, that, Chairman, I'm here to help give advice to councillors. Whether councillors take that advice, or whether they, you know, or how they use that advice, or what information they've got, is entirely up to councillors. I can't tell a councillor what to do and what not to do. But they really, every councillor under the Code of Conduct has to protect themselves and you know, and leave themselves open, you know, to challenge, you know, if they breach the Code of Conduct or breach confidentiality regarding planning.
Councillor Riley?
Yes, Madam Chair, I was just wondering, as a non-planning committee member,
you know, I still get lobbied by members of the public who have a planning application and they haven't received any updates, whatever. Is there any obligation on planning service staff to reply to an inquiry? Because certainly Mr. McKay just seems to completely ignore any correspondence. McParland, she's actually very good. She'll try and get back. But on very, very important planning applications whereby people advise me that this is in Mr. McKay's desk for X number of months, like, you know, is there any obligation on the part of that director to respond to a councillor's request for an update or whatever? Because it's very, very frustrating. You know, again, going back to the old system, you used to be able to get into the car and go up to Craig Avenue and have a cup of tea or coffee with the planners, and they could sit and discuss things and you'd get an exact timeline or whatever. Under this system, if you're not involved in the planning committee, you just seem to be out in your ear, as everything else with this council. Thank you.
Chairman, Council, we're expecting the director, maybe he can pick up. Certainly, you know, if there's issues in terms of non-responsive, please let us know, but no council's putting in arrangements to try and deal with that.
Chair, we very recently put in new arrangements. You'll all be aware of the dedicated telephone number for councillors. If you use that telephone number, you will get a response, and you will be guaranteed to get a response in the next day or two. Also, we have now put in a monitoring process for any correspondence or complaints that come in. We will be monitoring those, and we will ensure they do get dealt with. So again, I would, in another couple of weeks, seek your feedback on that, but we put in a new process last week to ensure that all correspondence is responded to and is dealt with.
Would you like to come in there, Henry? Are you happy enough with that? That's a fair point, and I think that's been acknowledged now by the directorate, so hopefully in the coming weeks that can be reviewed and hopefully it'll improve. Councillor Kinley. Sorry, Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I suppose we could talk all night about planning, but we've got enough on the agenda, but anyway. My point relates to my role. For instance, I don't serve on the planning committee, but there has been a number of occasions since we've established these powers where I've requested a deferral on behalf of maybe an applicant or an agent. Again, similar to the concerns that Councillor Hardy has relayed, I found myself in a situation, for instance, where a councillor serving on the planning committee informed the agent within a matter of minutes regarding the decision that was made following on from a request that I would have made. I was none the wiser. You know, a number of days later, the agent came back to me. I think there should be a process at least where I, as a councillor that have made a request for a deferral, should be informed as soon as possible after that meeting in terms of how that application is went, because I do believe it's unfair. And in fact, the councillor's using the committee to his own advantage, as if he's the only one acting on their behalf. And I find myself in a situation where, you know, at least where I'm putting a deferral in, I should be at least informed how that application is went and what decisions have been made on that, so that we're seeing that we are proactive on it. Because I am concerned about what the concerns that Councillor Hardy has made. It's a very sensitive role being a member of this planning committee, and I hope that all councillors that serve it will show a responsible attitude to it. But I think that we should have some process where we are at least afforded the opportunity to be informed how the decision went.
Chairman, just that was part, Councillor Hardy raised that part of the party leaders meeting. Again, I acknowledge that probably there's a gap in the process. So we're looking now, after the briefing panel meets, the councillor raised the issue, is given an email immediately to tell them what the decision of the briefing panel has been on it, you know.
Councillor Tinley.
Thank you, Chair. I concur with the Chief Executive's views on the operating procedure and the protocol for members of the Planning Committee. I'm very disappointed, tonight's not the first time I've heard this, that people are going out of meetings and can't wait to get to the phone. I would say to you that that sort of political opportunism has to be ridiculed for what it is, and I would suggest that the councillors that are unhappy with what's happening who happen to be bearing the brunt of the decisions made and are getting the phone calls in relation to it. Well, they have the opportunity and should be encouraged to report those instances of political opportunism to the Ombudsman. Because all the meetings in the world about code of conduct, and that doesn't seem to be filtering down. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Shinley. Councillor Walker.
Chair, just picking up on the Chief Executive, when he'd mentioned there in relation to the dedicated number. Yes, the dedicated number is working perfectly. I've used it a number of times, and I have to say, you know, excellent. It is emails. I'm sent emails, and I could show you half a dozen emails that have been sent with no reply. Now, I don't think that's fair on councillors. The reason being is that is our paper trail, in a sense. If a constituent comes to us, we have a paper trail to show them that we... Now, if we're not getting replies, I can turn around and show them it and say, look, you're not getting a reply in out there. Sometimes when you phone them up and say, I haven't got a reply, they don't believe you. So they don't. I think we need to sort out the return of emails. Should it just be an acknowledgement to say they have acknowledged the email and that? And I think the director has to turn around and take that on board, because that's our paper trail, so it is, to prove to our constituents that we are genuinely working on their behalf.
Before big plans comes in, I think we need to just remind members where we are with planning. You know, we've had this discussion in several meetings. We are sitting with a position in terms of planning section, which transferred to us in the DOE on the 1st of April, which had a computer system that was down for 3 weeks, which is actually understaffed. Indeed, Newry Moor and Down is the largest number of applications across the whole of Northern Ireland. We actually represent, in terms of application receipts, 1/5 of all the applications in Northern Ireland are fielded in this area. We have gone out through the recruitment process, which we agreed with the council, to actually internally recruit a number of planners to try and bring them in and administer staff to cover maternity leaves and to try and deal with the backlog. But certainly we've set a performance target for ourselves to improve in terms of the level of applications. But there is resourcing issues, I've no doubt about it. Again, it was a transferred function in. Certainly we don't believe we got the resources that was required, and now we have to pick up the pieces. But maybe a Kenneth in terms of...
Sure, just before Kenneth comes in, I take your point on that there, but it's not fair on us councillors. And I have to say that I'm saddened that Annette McElarney is out maternity leave, because I have to say, and I'm not singling anybody out, but when Annette McElarney was there and I sent an email, I got a response by the end of the day, every time. Now, I'm not singling that lady out, in a sense, but, you know, there's a perfect example. She acknowledged your emails.
Thank you, Councillor Thomas. Can I pass over to you? Thank you, Thomas. Councillor Quinn.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I would like to agree with what the other councillors have said previous. And as for the dedicated phone number, particularly when we ring up and ask about Miriam Moore, we're rightly ringing a number in Downpatrick for them to tell us the number in Miriam Moore, and then to ring to be told that we'll be contacted within several days. Under the old system, when we rang Craig Allen, 9 times out of 10, you spoke directly to the planner you wanted to speak to, and you had your response right away. This new system has slowed everything down. It was supposed to speed things up. I'm just wondering who is monitoring this, and do they realise that it has actually slowed the process down?
Thank you. Councillor Carr.
Yes, Chair, and well, I don't really want to repeat myself, but a few meetings back, we did discuss the fact that we inherited the biggest number of outstanding applications across the north. And then we went into a mode
where, and I think we all agree with a planning service that is a plan-led service, but to shift 40 to 50% of all our planners onto the plan and not deal with the outstanding applications, I think, needs to be reconsidered seriously at a very high level. Otherwise, we will never, given the numbers that are still coming in, that Liam talks about, still coming in this area, we're a big area, quite frankly, I can understand, how can the planners handle them? If we've moved so many out, and I know there's maternity issues and all the rest, but 40% of our staff have been moved away from working on planning applications. Now, it doesn't take a scientist to work out that we're growing problems for ourselves. You know, and I saw a time when a planning schedule came through in the early morning with 300, 400, 500 applications on it. Now they're coming through in 5s and 6s and 8s, and it's bound to hit an avalanche point at some stage in the near future.
Thank you, Councillor. Sorry, Councillor Ryan.
Chair, just in relation to a few comments that have been made about members of the planning committee maybe passing on information to agents that maybe shouldn't be doing. There's quite a number, I think in 12 in total, on the planning committee. And I think it's unfair for councillors to come in here and just say that this information has been passed on by individuals. If councillors have been told by agents or applicants out there the name of a councillor who has done so, then they want to pass that on to the chief executive and get it dealt with. Not to come in here and just throw it out here in the meeting. So that all of us are tarred with one brush.
Yeah.
Sure, there was no attempt to tar the entire committee, but I think it's important that the concerns raised, not attempting to blacken the name of any, you know, all the members of the committee. I'm just saying, I find myself in a situation and other councillors the same, where they have made with deferral requests and they're not being afforded the opportunity to be told what was decision was made at that meeting. It's not fair, in my opinion, that another councillor can pass the information on because of they're lucky enough to be on that planning committee and passing information on, and the rest of us are looking as if we're not doing our job. That's all it was about.
Councillor Ryan.
I still make the point again that you know, if an agent or an applicant has said the said councillor who has whatever done whatever or made comment on whatever, that should be passed on immediately.
Mr. Chairman, for clarification, could I say the Commissioner for Complaints, because I'm not the post party, you don't complain to me. You contact the Commissioner for Complaints with you.
Okay, members, on to item number 10 then. Need to go through them for accuracy. They're the minutes of the Audit Committee. So page by page, first of all. So page number 1, page number 2, page number 3, page number 4, page number 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9. Can I have a proposer and seconder, please?
Councillor Enright.
Proposed by Councillor Enright.
Councillor Dyan.
Sorry, apologies. Are you making a proposal, Councillor Enright?
No, I'm the chairperson of the audit committee, and I feel that I don't think she needs to be corrected in the audit committee. I think it should be noted, I think from a legal point of view, we don't have a right to correct
the audit. Why is someone trying to correct them?
Just for accuracy, Chairman, that the Audit Committee reports directly to the Council, and therefore the minutes have to come, they can make recommendations to the Council. There's certainly nothing in the minutes that the Council needs to agree here, but certainly it is a reporting mechanism, and the terms of reference to the Audit Committee say they report directly to the Council. In terms of... They're not their chairman, they're actually terms of reference agreed by the council, and they at that point they're the council's minutes. They're not the audit committee's minutes. Council agrees the terms of reference to the audit committee. It has agreed that there was approved in February last year, and indeed again the arrangements are in terms of the role of the audit committee in terms of where it reports was set out by the Northern Ireland Audit Office, who are independent auditors for government. Which states that the Audit Committee will report.
I'm sorry, we cannot agree a terms of reference that is in contradiction to
The chairman, the chairman's reference, adhere to that there, and are agreed by the Northern Ireland Audit Office, which is the government body which we refer to, chairman.
Proposed there.
Can I have a seconder? Can I have a seconder, please? Seconded by Councillor Burns. Thank you. Okay, on to item number 12 then. We're skipping over item number 11 this evening. For noting, and I'm going to pass you over to Liam here just to take you through very briefly.
Chairman, a number of the pieces of correspondence again is just regarding the non-executive members on the One Point Harbour Authority. Information regarding Strangford Ferry infrastructure improvement works, which are identified and are included in the overall report. Correspondence regarding private selling of Ballock Ansborough. Again, correspondence regarding proposed modernisation and new premises for the Reserva Post Office. I'm just going to do these quickly, Chairman, and reading for information. Yeah. Brentford Post Office, again, temporary closure. And again, a conference, Chairman, which members may want to consider in regard to the future of the health and social care in Northern Ireland.
Just before we proceed any further, I'd just like to note some concern myself with item number 13, the correspondence from Transport NI regarding Strangford Ferry Service. I note that as a councillor I did receive notification about the planned works, the scheduled works. However, in the notification that I sent, it didn't refer to the fact that there could be some form of temporary disruption to the service, and I'd like that investigated a wee bit further so that we can provide some clarity to the wider public. So I propose that we write to Transport NI as a matter of urgency to find out exactly how they envisage the works may infringe upon the existing service. Everyone in agreement? Can I have a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Hardy. Thank you. Councillor Clark, Patrick.
Thank you, Chair. Could I respectfully ask the Chief Executive to respond to item number 14, correspondence from Transport NI, reference proposed traffic plan for Ballylock Road, Ansborough. The letter that you've received, Liam, is from Gordon Truman, and I would like you as Chief Executive to support the proposal, which is for, as previously stated, the proposed traffic calming scheme. This particular road has been a major road safety issue for the residents of the Ballylock Road. Myself and other councillors have been dealing with this. There was a young girl knocked down last year, and it has all come to a head. And myself have met the PSNI and Road Service. So really what I just ask of you is to respond to that letter supporting the recommendation for the proposed traffic calming scheme, if that's possible.
Are members happy with that proposal, Councillor Burns? Councillor Andrew?
Thank you very much, Chair. Well, more or less, I welcome your concerns and question on point 13 and Councillor Patrick Clark's question 14. If Transport Northern Ireland officials were here tonight, you had no call to write letters. You could ask them to face us here, and that would have saved a lot of points. No, it doesn't matter, but whatever Transport NI through the Chair would have been present, your queries could have been, you could have asked questions. That's what that forum's for, and tonight you see for yourself what it's about. You know, I only wanted to speak one about, and we're not going to take, I'd like to, through the Chair, to say I'm very, very disappointed in tonight's episode that Road Service were not allowed to stay to give the presentation. For example, if this was a council committee, and say a councillor submitted 15 points, and that councillor, oh, I'm not turning up tonight, I have somewhere else to go, and you wouldn't like it. You know, we'll have to look at this seriously, because are we going to be taken seriously again? What I think, most of all, what we should do is, I make this a suggestion, that the party just go away and talk amongst ourselves, but go back to two council meetings. The first council meeting, the months for business, the second meeting for presentations by bodies and agencies, because you look at the pages of reports that we've got tonight from Road Service, and you may as well be sat at Sabino. And I think, personally, that, you know, I feel cautious about my duties as a councillor and as a representative. And like, I don't complain when I drive from Crossguard down to Newry or whatever, or Dundalk. It's part of the job, you know, at the end of the day, like it or love it, it's a two-way street here. But I think realistically we should look at how we're going to work with agencies in the future. Tonight was a bad start for a new council. And tonight your questions, 13 and 14, Councillors Clark and Bailey, I just showed you, you could have highlighted it to the officers present and you would have got addressed.
Thank you, Councillor Andrew. Any further matters arising with the correspondence? Just draw your attention to item number 17. Are there any councillors that would like to declare an interest in attending that conference?
Future following person,
sorry? Florida.
It's a couple of things in terms of the integrated full commissioner. I'm just conscious that that's very big in this agenda, so leave it that maybe members contact member services just for the terms of it's from the 16th of September, so members want to come back to us on it.
Councillor Highland, yep.
I suppose, Chairman, probably can find that out and drop members out an email on for it, yeah.
I have proposals there from Councillor Highland, Councillor McAteer and Councillor Harvey that you are happy for your names to go forward. Councillor Highland. Thank you, Councillor. Okay, members happy to proceed then on to item number 19.
Under item 18, Chairman, just in terms of, I think we've notification now for a meeting regarding the ambulance service. I think it's something Councillor Riley raised with us, and again, I've asked one of our officers to follow it up. So we've arranged a special meeting for councillors, which will be a consultation meeting on the 20th of August with ambulance service on that, Chairman.
So I think it would be good if we could ask for a plus attendee, and it would need to be up to the foundation for comical and stuff, because of the issues on all sides. And I would ask members directly, if you do get a full volunteer, if we can discipline ourselves and talk about ongoing faith issues, because if we bring them down into the sort of stroke or cardiac unit, it'll be lost.
Quite a sensible proposal. Councillor Burns, should I have a seconder?
Seconded
by Councillor McAteer. Councillor Quinn?
Yes, thanks. I would have wanted to support Councillor Reddy because the ambulance service did actually hold a public consultation, but they held it in Belfast and in Derry. You would think this state of the Northern Ireland didn't exist, and I would like to alter from that to ensure that in future, when consultations are being held about such important things at our ambulance service, that this council area should at least have one part of the consultations.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor McGrath.
Chair, just following on from what Councillor Burns has said, I don't want to stack a meeting up, but would there be any suggestions for the third player I know that they're likely to blame is the Health and Social Care Boards, who actually provide the funding for the ambulance service, because you often get the response from them that the trust will say
we are dealing with things as quick as we can. If there were more ambulances out there, then they would be able to deal with matters quicker. Whenever it comes to actually having extra ambulances out there, it's the Health and Social Care Board that actually commissioned that. And Valerie Hart, who is their chief executive, whenever she was in Dunpatrick about a year ago, she... But she had actually was very supportive of the fact that rural areas required additional ambulance cover, but she's since retreated back into her offices in Belfast. And I think if we could smoke her out and actually say, come on, you need to follow those up. And there was also, for example, in the Dunpatrick area, when they reduced the services at the Down, there was an additional ambulance put in place, but that has been removed. And it's the removal of that ambulance that is causing a lot of the backlogs in the Dunpatrick area. So if we had the trust to prove that we need it, the ambulance service to say that they require it, and the person there that can write the cheque, it might be an interesting meeting.
Absolutely. Okay, so everyone in agreement then with the amended proposal?
Manager, I'm sorry.
Councillor Riley?
Yeah, Manager, it was me that raised this issue initially with Mr. Hannaway and Aisling Rennick, but where will we hold the meeting if we're agreeing to hold one localist?
Chairman, it's been arranged. It's been arranged in Dunpatrick where all members can access to microphones.
Yeah, because there was significant members of the public have an interest in that as well.
Chairman, it was going to be a consultation meeting. It wasn't going to be a full meeting of council, unless the members want a special full meeting of council. It was going to be a consultation process.
Yeah, no, I'm happy with that. Yeah. But can members of the public go to it then?
Well, it wasn't for members of the public. We weren't even going with members of the public. It's just, it's going to be, it's a, the purpose of it, my understanding is, it's so members can be consulted on this, so it's not a public right. meeting.
Because the meetings that were held up in Derry and Belfast are open to the public.
But
they are open to the public.
But I think it's public consultation. I think maybe I'm just trying to try to organise that to allow members to have 41 members to have their inputs. I think it would be safer bringing it along. If we want the trust and stuff like that, you're not going to get that. I would say at a full meeting. So maybe we need to do is have the consultation ourselves and then take a view if there needs to be a wider public consultation. Take it up on that there.
All right. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Enright.
We found out too that staffing paramedics on the sum of long term sickness, and the sum needs to be cleaned up, and there's this gap there, so that even if they have the vehicles, they haven't got the people to go out in them. So there's a problem there too as well.
Thank you. Okay, members, so we're moving on then to item number 19. Yes? Yes. Okay, so with documents for sealing, so I'm not going to read out the full list, but there are a number of additional attachments which you members may not have on their paper form. So I'll read out the additional attachments.
Yes, they are the street license agreement, Warren Point. That is Church Street and the Square, and it's a public realm scheme. A public realm scheme, Newry Cathedral Quarter. Newry Cathedral Corridor, Public Realm Scheme, again, the Street Licence Agreement, and the one that you wouldn't have on your list is the regulating lease of the foreshore and bed of the sea, Cranfield Bay, Carlingford Lock.
Okay, are members happy for those documents to be sealed?
Yes.
Councillor Riley, are you looking in?
Chairman, or Madam Chair, the lease of the former cinema, once that comes up to April 16, is that it? because we had asked that the community group up there be consulted on using that building, and because they've got that space and place grant, but they couldn't use it because they couldn't get a site, whereas they may have been able to use it to renovate that building. And if that was possible, it would kill two birds with one stone. It would give them what they need, and it would get that asbestos-filled building off our hands.
Chairman, I've no detail, but I'll bring that back for Councillor Reddy. We agreed that he's up to 316. We can bring that information back, right, to the Chairman.
Okay, thank
you. Councillor Carr?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just maybe seek a little clarification on item number 6, the regulating lease for the foreshore of the bay to see a concrete bay. Does that vary from the rest of the lease with the Crown Estate on Carlingford Lock, where we just have it between the high tide and low tide mark? It's additional, is it? Thank you.
Okay. So can I have a proposer and a seconder, please, for the document?
Proposed.
Proposed by Councillor Enright, seconded by Councillor Doran. Councillor Hardy, are you looking in? Yeah. Okay, so on to item number 20 then, the consultation general certificate of secondary education grading. Liam,
Chairman, just to pick up, there's three consultations here which are not directly related to the council, i.e. GCSEs, but I'm conscious that political parties are that individual councillors may have comments they wish to do themselves, but I'm not proposing a response from the council unless members feel there's an issue in regard to this area.
I think it's closed, isn't it? No.
We contacted them and they agreed to extend it in case you wish to submit any comments.
Okay, members, happy to move on then to item number 23. The chief executive is going to leave the room at this stage because he's declared an interest. And Katrina? Okay, members, for this item we also have to go into closed session, so I need to ask members of the public and the press please to leave the room for this item, and we'll give you a call back shortly. Okay, members, we'll just give a couple of seconds here for the press and members of the public and the chief executives to get back in. Okay, so just for the benefit of those returning to the room, we've just come out of closed session and the members agreed to note the report and agreed with the recommendations to carry the report. Okay, so on to item number 24, off-street parking. Eddie, can I pass over to you for that one, please?
Debt recovery arrangements.
Chairman, you've got a copy of the report in front of you, Chairman. This is regarding recovery with the cost, and as you know, the council previously had agreed to extend the contract with the DRD, Chairman. And if we could say it one by one, Chairman, the three issues were that an interim performance review report prepared by the independent assessor was submitted by the committee at a February meeting, and a summary of the city executive full year performance was agreed by the subcommittee. I'm in the wrong one, so I'm going to go to the wrong one. Chairman, this is where the recovery of the debt, the traffic management Northern Ireland order makes provision for a champion PCMP debt to be recovered either by stamping or through enforcement of the judgment office. Stamping is the preferred option method of debt recovery, subject to available being dictated and planned by the enforcement contractor. However, the stipulation for debt cannot be recovered through stamping, and consideration must be given to the recovery of the debt through the judgment office. Factors to be taken into account and make the decision to proceed through the judgment office to include the likelihood of the successful recovery by the EJO, the value for money, the amount of PPN of the debt that is outstanding, and the number of the debts of the debts owed to the other creditors. The process through which debt is recovered and which will govern the arrangements between the EJO and the council is set out in Appendix 1. There are a number of resource applications attached to this arrangement fee, largely reflect the administration fees the council would pay should it wish to proceed with the recovery of the debt. Any fees incurred are valid for the debt and recovered as part of the EJO debt recovery process. All of the details and ceremony again are attached to Appendix 1. It should be noted that in respect of debt recovery, the council does not currently have the resource capacity itself or the capability to undertake this duty itself. So the recommendation is that we would maintain the debt recovery procedure that we currently have, and we would review it at the end of the contract for the return.
Any comments, councillors?
Yeah.
Councillor Carr.
Yes, Chair. Well, I accept that we need some sort of a debt recovery service. We need probably the service level agreement in place for that. But when you start reading it and you find that there is a sliding scale of the debt of 30p to a pound and an application to enforce it, you wonder what that might cost. And then for the debtor to be maybe listed in Stubbs' Gazette, I just wonder how far we're going to go with all this. You know, for someone to be 60p unpaid to the council, it could end up in Stubbs' Gazette. Seems a wee bit over the top to me. Am I reading this right? Sure.
We're not right, Chairman. You see, Chairman, you have to look at the core of those issues, and one of those is the value of money, Chairman. I don't think the council would ever be in a situation where they'd ever deal with that, that the council would be forcing that through. You need to take a look at the cost of that, Chairman, and the value of that. And there are occasions, Chairman, that it would be normally when the debt is very, very large, and it's not only a PCN debt. They would look at all of the debt that may be Chairman, and it was only at that point that it would be added into some of this debt. And we did meet with the chief officer who was looking after that, and he assured us that it would be a common sense approach, Chairman, and that would be used at all times.
Will that come before this council? No.
If you accept the procedures that are laid down, those are the procedures that are going to be used.
Okay. Right, so long as we can ensure that there's a common sense approach to.
Okay, so can I have a proposer and a seconder then to the recommendation? Councillor Hannah. Seconded by Councillor Brown. Okay, thank you. Okay, members, so moving on to item number 25 then, the first of our two motions tabled. Tabled by Councillor Brown. Councillor Brown, can I call on you to move the motion, please?
My light has gone rainbow colours, which is very suitable for the occasion, I think. But
no, it's just red.
That's Patrick Clark's wise minds, same as Cadogan's. It's gone all funny. Not sure why, but this one's working okay. Cool. Thanks, Chair. I'd like to start by introducing the motion, and then I will present some arguments based in fact and logic that, in my opinion, outline why, Chair, my colleagues here this evening should support this motion. The motion put forward by Councillor McAteer and myself reads that this Council believes that all couples in Newry, Moran and Down, and across Northern Ireland, regardless of sexual orientation, should have the right to a civil marriage. That the rights of religious institutions to define, observe and practice marriage within their beliefs should be given legal protection. That faith groups which wish to marry same-sex couples should not be prevented by the state from doing so, that all married couples of the same sex should have the same legal entitlement to the protections, responsibilities, rights, obligations, and benefits afforded by the legal institution of marriage, and calls on the Minister of Finance and Personnel to introduce legislation to extend civil marriage provisions to same-sex couples. Quite simply, passing this motion will send a message to the Northern Ireland Executive that we here in Newry, Mourne and Down are an open and inclusive district. My reasons for supporting this issue are simple. I support equality. This issue will never affect me directly. However, I believe people should be equal in the actions allowed for them under the law, providing their actions do not harm others. And more than that, I believe in helping those in our society who have been marginalised, sidelined and mistreated by society in the past. I would never presume to speak on behalf of the LGBT community. I did never speak on behalf of a community that have gone through so much to see this issue debated openly and fairly. Let us not forget that around 40 years ago in the UK, a person could still be jailed for expressing their sexuality. Sadly, in parts of the world, they still are. In conclusion, I felt compelled to act however I could. I want to help those in our district affected by this issue not just to express their love, but feel accepted, empowered and involved in a modern, tolerant and progressive society. So, those are my reasons for proposing this motion. But I want to focus more on some arguments why this motion should be passed here tonight. First, I just want to say that although I feel this issue is becoming somewhat common sense amongst the younger generation, myself included, I understand that this isn't the case for everyone, and I want to make sure that tonight we encourage respectful debate from everyone in the chamber, and myself and Councillor McAteer will do our best to answer all comments. On Friday, 22nd of May, Ireland became the first country in history to endorse same-sex marriage by referendum. This was a huge turning point for a traditionally conservative country and showed just how ready the average Irish citizen was to accept equal marriage for all. Just a month later, the USA sent the same message, becoming the 21st and perhaps most influential country to nationally legalise same-sex marriage. The entirety of the Western world is now accepting the right for everyone to get married, including the rest of the British Isles, leaving Northern Ireland floating dangerously close to obscurity in the UK and in Europe. The reason we did not call for a referendum in this motion is simple. A referendum will not work in Northern Ireland, given that any referendum would have to be passed through the Assembly, who have consistently failed to act on this issue. I also think, as wonderful as the Irish vote was, that the rights of minorities should not be left to a decision by the majority. What we need to do is join together to send a message in any way we can to both represent and change public opinion, and for the people to decide at the ballot box next year who they want representing them on this issue. Northern Irish politicians are behind the times on this issue. It is not the people of Northern Ireland's fault that it has been branded the most homophobic place in Western Europe. It is the fault of its political leaders. An overwhelming majority of 68% of Northern Irish citizens said they were in favour of same-sex marriage in a recent Ipsos Mori poll featured in today's newsletter, including, believe it or not, 49% and 45% of UUP and DUP voters respectively. So given those statistics, I would expect at least one of the representatives from each of those parties here tonight to vote in support of this motion. We must show leadership on this issue. For anyone who would say this debate is not relevant at council level, I would say this is a statement that needs to be made as loudly and as often as possible. Council is a platform for that statement. Together we can send a message that Newry, Mourne and Down is a progressive, inclusive and equal district. We need to understand that marriage evolves. Some people will say that marriage is and always was between a man and a woman. Some people believe straight marriage is the only way marriage can be understood. Some people say marriage is a Christian tradition. I disagree. Marriage is socially defined. People decide what marriage is, and people can change what marriage is. If marriage was always the same, then woman would still be property. Black and white people couldn't marry, and divorce would still be illegal. Marriage is not a Christian tradition. It is a human tradition. Marriage exists everywhere, in virtually all societies and religions. It is for humans to decide what marriage means to them, not religion. And for those who say the purpose of marriage is procreation, then what should we do about married couples who are unable to have children either for age or biological reasons? Should we dissolve childless marriages for failing in their purpose? The equally ridiculous idea that marriage could be extended to animals, inanimate objects, or children is irrelevant. Legal consent is what makes a marriage. When was the last time you saw a dog sign a contract? We need to break down harmful misinformation about same-sex relationships. According to some, including some former health ministers, children brought up in a same-sex household are more likely to be disadvantaged. This is ridiculous. In my opinion, children need a loving, supportive, and stable family, regardless of gender or sexuality. Furthermore, the idea that gay parents will raise gay children is as lacking in logic as saying straight parents only raise straight children. Marriage inequality is just another form of discrimination. To those who see members of the LGBT community as separate but equal, treating someone differently because of their sexuality is the same as treating them differently because of their sex, because of their skin colour or gender. Denying them access to basic societal functions such as marriage is the same as having white-only schools and restaurants. Saying that civil partnerships are good enough for those of a different sexuality is the same as saying the back of the bus was good enough for Rosa Parks. Same-sex marriage strengthens the concept of marriage. How we understand relationships in today's society has already changed, fundamentally so. People are marrying later, marrying less, and divorcing more. This has nothing to do with gay marriage. In fact, if anything undermines marriage, surely it's divorce rates, rather than allowing more people who love each other to be involved in the union of marriage. To me, nothing says respect for marriage more than the hundreds of thousands of people who've demonstrated on the streets of London, Dublin, and Belfast in the past few months. Nothing else shows how strongly marriage is still an integral part of our society. Thank you, Chair, and I welcome comments and questions on the motion.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor McAteer.
Thanks, Chair. I just want to say a couple of words, a few words, because I'm seconding the motion. I'll try and be as quick as I can, because I know people are eager to get home. Chair, today could be a momentous day for this council. We have an opportunity to make real change and continue our support for equality and understanding. Each of us here have grown up in a society that has been ravaged by conflict. We live in a society that has sectarianism at its core. Racism is alive and well within this council area. Just last week, a young Polish lad was severely beaten for no other reason than being Polish. Attacks on the LGBT community happen quite regularly as well. I have yet to meet a gay man or woman who has not been verbally or physically abused at least once in their lives. I can't imagine how any human being would choose to be a part of a community that is marginalised, demonised, ostracised and victimised for no other reason than one's sexual orientation. Across the world, change is happening, real change. Countries from as far off as the USA to Ireland are saying no to inequality. Sadly, at this moment in time, we are the only region in Western Europe that has an antiquated view on same-sex marriage. We are the only region in Western Europe who treats our citizens differently because of whom they love. Sectarianism, racism and sexism are the building blocks of hate and discrimination. We as councillors have an obligation to our constituents to ensure that everyone within Uri, Mourne and Down District Council are treated equally, regardless of skin colour, race or sexual orientation. Gay people are human beings. They are our sons, daughters, brothers, sisters and occasionally fathers and mothers. Each and every one of these people are entitled to the same human rights as you and me. Today, we as councillors for Uri, Mourne and Down Council have an opportunity to tear down these walls of hate and discrimination. We can show the world that we are no longer living in the dark ages. Please stand up and say enough is enough. If we are serious about creating a new Northern Ireland, then we have to treat all our citizens as equals and shed the prejudices of the past. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McAteer. Councillor Harvey.
Marriage. In researching the word marriage, the first place that I can see the name mentioned is in the Bible. And it is mentioned in the very first book, Genesis. So that tells us that marriage has been defined a very long time ago and with only one purpose in mind. In effect, this means that marriage is a religious definition, not a political one. So why are we even talking about it? I would assume that the majority of us here are either Catholic or Protestant, and I would have thought support and stand up for our Bible. I know there are times in our churches we are let down by men, but the Bible has not changed and will not let us down. Do we really think we can change what has been written? Because that's what we are doing. I know that lots of people today do not want politics and religion to be mixed, and in this issue it's in fact bringing religion into politics, not the opposite. This is not only something that I do not support, but something that I think that if we thought deeply enough about it, you will not support either. A show of hands or a vote will never change what has been written. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor McGrath.
Thank you very much, Chair. Certainly the FDLP is a party of equality, and it has been from its inception. We are a party that we feel that people can approach and ask for their cause to be supported and for a fair and inclusive and equitable society to be pursued. And that ranges for us back to the 60s and 70s in terms of civil rights, fair employment legislation of the 80s, through to the Good Friday Agreement of the 90s and the work that has taken place since. We have played what we feel is our part in delivering a fairer, more equitable society in Northern Ireland. And we see no distinction or difference today, and we will not be voting against this motion. Now, it would also be amiss of us not to recognise that there are some reservations amongst society. And we feel that, and we pay reference to those, because we are a democratic party. We represent people, and we're fully aware that not everybody within society supports equal marriage on these islands. And we feel that there should be a job of work done to try and work with these people. We want to recognise that not everyone will support the substance of the motion, and as a mature democracy, we have to accept this and on some level allow people to object to it so that we can work with them to try and get them to overturn their views. And we feel that a good discussion would actually allow the cause of equal marriage to be able to progress much better. But we feel that the support of this council and others might help to send a message that there is merit in supporting this move for equality. We also recognise that Northern Ireland, and indeed wider Ireland, is a very deeply Christian country, and that it may seem that supporting equal marriage is somehow anti-Christian. But we have sought through the Westminster legislation protections that will ensure that churches are not forced to perform marriages in their properties if they do not wish to. And we feel that this means that churches should feel protected within the legislation, not vulnerable, and that they will not be forced to do what is against their beliefs. We feel, Chair, that people have said that equal marriage will be a bad move for children, as they will be brought up in households with gay parents within an unusual setting. And again, I think we need to be exceptionally clear. Children can be brought up and adopted within civil partnerships as it presently stands, and all that equal marriage legislation will do is strengthen the bond within a relationship. And as somebody that works with children, I can tell you that a weak relationship can be detrimental to a child's upbringing, whether it's in a gay, straight or otherwise household. Strengthening relationships is good for families, and the bond of marriage is the strongest that the state can offer. Some will say too, Madam Chair, that there are already civil partnerships. Surely that's enough. But again, we need to be clear that denying people something, preventing them access, by allowing some and not permitting others, needs to be well thought out. I mean, with 1960s, America said it was okay for black people to get on buses, but as long as they didn't sit at the front. What would it be like in South Africa if they said that you could have black politicians but not a president? Would it have been acceptable for women to be allowed to vote but only in certain elections? And what about Northern Ireland? Would it have been acceptable to educate Catholics day level but not let them go to university? The point is, in a mature and democratic society, you can't have bit parity or somewhat fairness or part equality. People should be treated by state-managed laws on an equal basis, full stop. In summary, this motion seeks our support for providing equality, for strengthening households, for providing stability for families, and enabling a step forward for the community. We want to see more work undertaken to allay the fears that people have on religious grounds. We want to see the fears that people have for children addressed and dispelled. We want to see those within society that object to be allowed to do so in order to address their fears and to change their stance. but above all, we support equality. The SDLP always has done, and that's why we'll not be voting against this motion tonight. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Councillor McGrath. Councillor Murray. Sorry, just your light there, Colin.
No, sorry.
Thank you. Councillor Murray.
All right, good morning, Charlotte. I was a car, a boy, lum, my way has to go in the Coriori de Bruyne, I was Marketeer, and Rinshaw, Lappy, O'Score, Cornishaw, and that. I would like to commend Councillors Brown and Marketeer in bringing this motion before Council here today. The starting point for Sinn Féin on all issues of human and civil rights and equality is the Proclamation of 1916. It may be almost 100 years old, but it remains for us the mission statement of this generation of Republicans. As an Irish Republican Party, equality is at the core of all that Sinn Féin represents. All citizens must enjoy full equality of rights and opportunities under law, regardless of their background, including sexual orientation or gender. Nothing less can be tolerated in a modern, progressive and inclusive society. Just like our calls for equality for Irish language and for voting rights for all Irish citizens, whether at home or living abroad, Sinn Féin unambiguously calls for marriage equality for same-sex couples. Much as greater freedom exists for LGBT people, true equality is yet to be won. Sinn Féin recognises that social, societal attitudes, the ban on the donation of gay blood, gender recognition, adoption, transphobic and homophobic bullying, the reporting of domestic and sexual violence, as well as marriage and employment equality, are just a few of the issues of life where LGBT people suffer inequality and isolation. LGBT people suffer higher rates of depression, self-harm and suicide, directly attributable to social conditioning, the stigma and isolation of state-led criminalisation, discrimination and harassment. Irish Republicans are only too well aware of what it means to be treated as second-class citizens. We are determined to challenge the ignorance and indifference that enable this unacceptable situation to continue, to encourage the necessary changes in attitudes and to introduce or otherwise cooperate to support necessary changes in the law.
Thank you, Councillor Murray. Your light, sorry, Barry. Thank you. Councillor Riley.
Yeah, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I hear all these prepared statements, and obviously people have put a lot of thought into their statements, but, you know, no matter how this is tried to be dressed up, this is a case of trying to redefine the institution of marriage. As Councillor Harvey has pointed out, you know, something that's been here in the Judeo-Christian tradition for at least 2,000 years, and before that in the Judeo traditions. And not only are we trying to redefine the institution of marriage, we're actually trying to redefine society. You know, that's how incredibly deep this goes to. And, you know, you can look at all the way that the propaganda has been levied over the last number of years, and it's been pointed out it's not that long ago since homosexual activity was banned. Why was it banned? It was banned because in medical terms it's dangerous for the individual, and that's scientifically proven. I've just googled that here, and any number of websites from respected peer-reviewed medical organisations will say that people who are practicing homosexuals, who practice anal sex, will die earlier because a man's anus is not designed for penetrative sex. Now, you've been very articulate in how you've promoted your view, but these are the facts. The facts are that a man and a woman are biologically compatible beings. They were designed to have sex and to procreate the species. That's a biological fact. That's not bigotry. Whereas, as somebody who did study mammalian physiology, if you look at a man's rectum, it's a one-cell-thick organism that bleeds easily, and blood gets transferred, and that is why homosexuals are denied the right to give blood, because of that simple fact. That is an extremely dangerous thing to do, to have penetrative sex in your anus. Now, these are the facts about homosexuality that people like to say, oh, it's love. It's just love. You know, I served in the British Army. I know what it's like to sit in a trench with a fella for 3 or 4 weeks and the attachment and the love that a man can have for another love, that is natural manly love. But to have this attraction whereby you will go and penetrate a man's anus with your penis and think that, you know, that's love. To me, that is very, very, according to all these studies done in America and whatever, that's a very dangerous occupation. So why does the health trust say to me, if you smoke 20 cigarettes a day from your age 20, according to these peer-reviewed medical websites, you're liable to die 12 and a half years early. If you start homosexual, penetrative sex relationships from your age 20, you're liable to die 20 years younger. Now, if that's right, why do we want to promote that type of activity? It's just beyond me. And, you know, it shows the way that modern technology or modern media and the way that people can be brainwashed into this thing that something's right when it's profoundly wrong. And I certainly won't be supporting any calls for homosexual marriage because I think it's profoundly wrong. And to compare the black woman on the back of the bus with gay marriage, privileged people who have more rights now than the Christian community. People, to get a cake baked, you can go and get an ISIS cake baked, you can go and get a pro-IRA or a pro-UVF cake baked, nobody says a thing, but if you don't bake a cake saying, I am opposed to gay marriage, you're hauled before the courts and humiliated. Well, I don't agree with this. I think what's right's right and what's wrong's wrong, and this is profoundly wrong. No matter what the American Supreme Court says or what the Irish referendum results said, the Irish referendum was infiltrated with US money in hundreds of millions of pounds compared to tens of millions of pounds compared to the Catholic Church and the ordinary groups down there that fought with a shoestring. So that was an unfair fight as well. So, Chairman, I'm against this motion. Unashamedly so.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. And this is a democratic chamber, so we'll be taking our own position on it this evening. Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Chair. I would say at the outset, the Ulster Unionist Party allows their members to vote as a matter of conscience on issues such as this, so we will be voting from a personal point of view tonight. I would say that I am against the motion. I believe in the traditional definition of marriage between a man and a woman, and as such, I could not support the motion. I do be concerned sometimes when I talk about Northern Ireland to describe it as backward because people have a firm belief in something. I think there's been an attempt almost to try and cheapen, you know, deeply held Christian beliefs on this issue. I have been concerned about that argument as time has gone on. And I do believe, you know, given that there is civil partnerships, that from that point of view, that there is necessary legal protections and recognitions as a consequence of that. I won't be supporting the motion, and from a party point of view, our members will be allowed to express their view from a personal basis on this.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor McKay.
Yes, Madam Chair, on the back of what my colleague has said here, as a member of the Ulster Unionist Party who has the benefit of speaking unhindered on this subject and having listened to the notice of motion, I cannot and will not support this motion, which would lead to redefining of marriage. As an evangelical Christian, I would be failing my God who created male and female. Genesis 1, verse 27 and 28. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it. This cannot be said of same-sex marriage. If I were to support this motion, I would also be failing 4,000 of my constituents, because they know my stance on this subject. As the Bible states in numerous chapters and verses, that one man is to one woman for life. I do not hold any grudge against the councillor who have tabled this motion, nor do I bear ill will towards homosexuals. Some opponents of same-sex marriage are themselves homosexuals. The first couple to enter into civil partnership wrote a letter in the Evening Standard newspaper and asked, what exactly is meant by marriage? We have all the legal rights we need. To introduce same-sex marriage is redefining marriage, which will have some dire consequences, such as in 2012, the Westminster government issued an impact assessment explaining how the words husband and wife will need to be stripped from official data held by immigration and tax authorities. The homosexual lobby group Stonewall also wants the words husband and wife to be abolished by law. They say you cannot have two husbands or two wives. In some states in America, husband and wife have been replaced by Party A and Party B. I personally believe a child should have the benefit of being brought up in a home where there is a father and a mother. It is most common for a son to look towards its mother for comfort and a daughter to its father. And this same would also apply to child adoption. Madam Chair, for those of us who believe in democracy, should allow freedom of speech to voice our opinion on this subject. Others may want to disregard democracy and bring this subject before the courts. But all I ask is that those who support same-sex marriage to respect my right to hold my opinion, even though it may differ from theirs. Equal respect is all I ask. Matthew 19, verse 5, and Jesus said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Madam Chair, I will not be supporting this motion, nor will any of my party colleagues. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McKay. Sorry, just hit your light off. Thank you. Councillor Stokes.
Thank you, sir. I think, I mean, what encapsulates this this issue for me was a constituent of mine who's been in a with his partner for, I think, over two decades, and he expressed the wish recently. He said, "I'm just looking forward to the day when I can upgrade my civil partnership to civil marriage. It doesn't seem a lot to ask, sir, and it's it encapsulated for me, and I think it's something that we should support." I have to say, sir, I'm extremely alarmed and disappointed by the intervention of Councillor Reddy. I mean, it is such interventions and such terminology, sir, that demonise a lot of young people and also say a huge section of our community. I think his intervention, I mean, he should set up home in somewhere in the Islamic State, sir, because that's, I think, where he belongs, or his views belong.
Councillor Craig, or sorry, Councillor Clark, apologies, Councillor Clark.
Thank you, and I would first of all like to commend Councillor Patrick Brown for bringing this motion to Council. I think it shows a lot of leadership, and I think this Council could send it a very strong message tonight by supporting the motion. At the outset, I fully respect everybody's view. I respect people's view that do support same-sex marriage, and I also support respect people's view who do not support same-sex marriage, be it for personal or religious Christian views. I also believe that nothing is set in stone. Things can be changed. Whilst I respect the Bible and what's written in the Bible, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's right. The Bible was written many thousands of years ago. This is now the 21st century, so for a person to make their own mind up in today's modern times, it's totally different to whenever the Bible was written, and I don't mean that in a derogatory sense, that is just my personal opinion. I have many good friends who are gay and lesbian. I've met them at university, and they continue to be my good friends. And I often feel for people that had to move away from Northern Ireland, had to go abroad, and I often think of the people that took their own lives because of their sexuality, and because of a mindset within certain people that could not accept that they were gay or lesbian, transgender or whatever. And I believe that we should be allowed to love whoever we want, be it male, be it female. I have no issue with it. After all, we are all God's children. I'm a great believer in live and let live, and I think equality is something that we should all stand up for in 2015. Equality is a very important thing because there are a lot of countries that do not have equality. Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you. Well, you're speaking over me, so have the courtesy when I'm speaking when the red light's on.
Please continue, Councillor Riley, please. Councillor Clark, continue.
Well, you know the old saying, what are you talking about, pig but a grunt? I have to say that the motion is very timely. Given the unanimous support in the Republic of Ireland, given the unanimous support in the United States of America, I think now is time that this council should support this motion. And I wholeheartedly commend Councillor Brown and Councillor McAteer in bringing this motion forward. I certainly have no issue in supporting it, and I hope that all other councillors will give this serious consideration and support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Craig.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm not against anyone here that's brought this notice of motion, or indeed anyone that has this particular disposition. And I'm certainly not homophobic in any shape or form, Chair. And I suppose I would take issue with some comments that have been made with regards this backward state. It's only about a week ago in the press where there was a huge demonstration in one of the large squares in Rome. It was about 300 people demonstrated against same-sex marriage in early January in France, the same in Austria as I voted it. So I don't think it's wrong just to exclude us or just to point to this little country of ours as being the exception. Certainly not. The other thing a previous commentator was saying about the Bible, the Bible, as I said, hasn't changed. It's still wrong to steal and it's still wrong to murder. So, I mean, there's things that still haven't changed. But could I just say that if we were to adopt this motion, Chair, I feel that it does send out a message that having a father figure and a mother figure is not really important to children. I also feel that the natural consequence of all this, if it naturally takes its course, would be that such words as husband or wife would soon disappear, and by law they would be outlawed as being discriminatory, because it wouldn't be within the equality agenda. And I also feel it would become a precedent in primary schools. And I wouldn't particularly want my grandchildren to be taught that it's perfectly okay at a stable home to have two parents so-called of the same sex. I wouldn't particularly want my grandchildren to be taught that. And the fact that somebody wants it, I mean, if somebody wanted a polygamous relationship, it doesn't necessarily mean that they should get it. And I have a fundamental issue with the definition of marriage. It is, as I see it, between one man and one woman, and to try to define marriage as anything else, it just becomes a meaningless anachronism. And that's really all it does, and it's not marriage at all. That's really all I have to say on it, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Craig. Councillor Harvey, with all due respectfully, I'm not going to allow contributors to come in a second occasion, just because I'm mindful that we're already quite late on in the evening and I want everyone to get a chance to come in. Councillor Burns or Hardy, or who's using the microphone?
Sorry, we've had a catastrophic microphone failure tonight. Sir, thanks for the opportunity, and I welcome the motion, and I would congratulate Councillor Brown. It was a very well presented argument, but it is a sensitive issue, and it's the second time the same issue has been debated in this chamber. In the old Legacy Council, it passed, and since then, I suppose from my point of view, I presented it at that stage that we've all done a wee bit of growing up as well, because we presented it, I think, in quite a cavalier way. And having talked to my unionist colleagues, I understand their sentiment. I understand their deep affiliation for their faith, for the Bible, and what they believe in, they believe close to their heart. And I don't think any counter-argument that I will make tonight will change that. What I would say, I mean, in everything we said, maybe putting aside Councillor O'Reilly's rather graphic account, that the arguments you're making then are the same arguments you're making now, but I think the debate has moved on. I think the vote in the South was a game changer. Our own party have many devout Catholic people who are very challenged by this issue, and when this issue was raised at the referendum, it was hard for everybody because people felt they were campaigning against their own church. But when the result came in and it was an overwhelming yes, an overwhelming support, I think people realised it was the right thing to do, and the optimism and the delight and what it brought out and the good feeling, and it has made the church itself do a bit of soul searching and do a bit of looking downwards. The only one comment that I did take a wee bit of step back a wee bit was when Councillor McKee suggested that he believes in democracy, and what I would say to all our unionist colleagues, if you believe in democracy, let it go to a vote. Let it go to a referendum and let the people decide here as they have in other places. Because the bigotry that is sometimes leaks out from certain politicians, and none in this chamber, I would say, towards the LGBT community, sometimes is just staggering. And for us in Sinn Féin, you know, we understand the sensitivities, but for us, it's quite simply an equality issue, and that's the right thing to do. So we'll be voting tonight in favour of the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Burns. Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chairperson. I was brought up in a very religious family, but we also had a very strong understanding of an interest in politics. And I think it was clear to us always that politics in Ireland need to be separated from religion in Ireland. And certainly my father, as a historian, taught us all how in 1778 the colonial policy of racism towards Irish people changed to become one of sectarianism, in which they attempted to recruit the Presbyterians through the use of religion onto the side of the established church. And we always understood the importance, therefore, of normalising politics in Ireland by taking religion out of politics in order to normalise Ireland as a society. And therefore, when I became interested in politics, I find myself very much lining up on the basis of society in the way in which, say, for instance, Pastor Neymar would have lined himself up in supporting minorities and holding up the rights of minorities in politics, even though you, as a personal individual Christian, might hold reservations about what these minorities themselves would feel. I know that my first time in getting up on a platform for gay rights was back in 1978, and a lot of my friends would have been surprised at that time. And I very, very consistently supported gay rights down through the years in that regard. But I must confess, like Harry over here, the Christian, I felt that perhaps when we had reached civil union, that was enough. We'd all the rights and responsibilities that accrued to gay couples could accrue them through civil union, and I didn't see the point of gay marriage as such. But again, guided by the history of my family and the importance of separating politics from religion, I think I have to bow to the gay community in this regard, because you need to support every minority. My only reservation in this particular motion would be the hypocrisy of it being brought forward by a member of the Alliance Party, where we've got a situation whereby the Alliance Party rejects, under the Good Friday Agreement, the concept of priority of esteem, and would suggest perhaps we all ought to be Northern Irish or Sotho Voce British, and doesn't, and say, for instance, they even rejected the idea of a Human Rights Act as proposed by the Good Friday Agreement, because it was based upon the idea of parity of esteem. I would further add that the Alliance Party's opposition to the Irish Language Act, which is also brought forward under the Good Friday Agreement. So I would say to you that whilst I would support this, and I would support it because I believe that religion ought to be separated from politics, I would also question the bona fides of the party that's bringing this motion forward tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Enright. Councillor Andrew.
First of all, tonight we've listened to a wide range of contributions from all sections of political opinion in this chamber, you know, for and against the concepts of civil marriage. And I believe fundamentally that the state should facilitate the facility of marriage, and churches and faith groups should be allowed their God-given right to stand up for their beliefs and to encourage their point of view to be through the scripture and through the Bible, whatever, to be taught to the members. I think the churches and faith groups should be left alone and not be coerced into doing something that they shouldn't, which is fundamentally against their principles. And I do take on board the party stance at Westminster and other bodies that the rights of churches and Christian groups should be protected and respected. You know, as I say, I know wholeheartedly where everybody's coming from, and tonight it's not easy for a lot of people to express their opinions or whatever, and they have their feelings. And as the Christopher Bailey said, this is a democratic chamber, and leg it or lump it, we should be here listening to one another's views. And as you know, I love my history. I'm what you call the history buff. I mean, you think back to King Henry VIII, he couldn't do with one wife, he had six, and countless number of kids all over the place. Idi Amin, the late president of Uganda, he had several wives, he must have 30 or 40 children. You know, and you have to respect it. It's their culture, polygamy, and, you know, whatever, you know. I'm not knocking it, you know what I mean? But, well, I'm not, I should have faith in that, but I'm not knocking anybody's beliefs or cultures. But, you know, I do take on board tonight everybody's views, but it's very, very disappointing that the honourable member for Down Patrick, through the chair, Chris Renly, should take a pot shot at another political party for their viewpoints. If Councillor Brown and Councillor McAteer wanted to come into this chamber and put a motion and I want to stand in my head all night, well, they have that right. They have the right to debate that. And it's right for councillors to make a debate, but at the same time, for Councillor Renly to make a pot shot at somebody else because they put across their opinion, I think it's fundamentally wrong. We're a democratic chamber and we should lose party politics and I should get that outside the door. People have spoke their personal beliefs tonight and I think it's been a fair thing. You know, I will be supporting the concept tonight of civil marriage, and I think that I think realistically that the stance the party should take is that churches and faith groups should be allowed to opt out and not be coerced or forced to do anything. I think at the end of the day we're a democratic society, we're all equal, and as the Council of Public Clark said, we're all God's children and we should look on like that by understanding a lot of people's points of view. If we don't like it, well, as I said, it's a democratic society and we have to abide by the decision whatever way it goes tonight. So I'll be supporting the motion that's been tabled. Well, thank you very much, Chair, for your indulgence.
Councillor Hannah.
Chair, I've listened to debates I have, and to be quite honest, I find this very challenging, so I do. I actually contemplated, and I said to my colleagues before I came in, of abstaining tonight from this, maybe checking them out. But after listening to Councillor Brown and some of the other councillors here tonight, I will be voting against, simply because I honestly believe at this moment in time there's a very small minority of these people. They've got civil rights, they have as many rights as anybody that's married. How much do you want? And I think, Councillor Brown, to be quite honest with you, some of the comparisons and examples you give are, I would say, pretty much ridiculous. They are. Black people in America, I don't think there's any comparison whatsoever, so I don't. There is a large majority of people that have similar views myself. I don't have any problem with anybody that's homosexual in any shape or form. I don't get into biology lessons like Councillor O'Reilly. To be quite honest with you, I thought he was a wee bit crib here the night, so he was, to be quite honest with you.
I'm just giving facts.
No, but it was crib. Henry, it was crib and it was unnecessary, so it was. But to be quite honest with you, I think civil partnership is quite enough for them, so it is. And Councillor Brown, to be quite honest with you, I am disappointed, Sam, in some of the arguments you put forward, so I will be voting against it.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Hyland.
Thanks, Madam Chair.
Glenn, sorry, just knock your light off.
Oh, yeah, course. Sorry. It's been a very interesting debate and listen to all the viewpoints that are being put up tonight. But I think, and I hate using the phrase all right thinking people, but all right thinking people would have to support this motion. The people in the Republic of Ireland have done so, and the people in Scotland, Wales, and England have done so, and I think it's time for us here in the north of Ireland to do likewise, and to give our brothers and sisters the full support that they need. I think, Henry, you were rather crude, graphic, and it was unnecessary. I don't think you have to equip what you said with the love and affection that people have for each other. Councillor McKee mentioned about democracy and the importance of democracy, and is, of course, it's vital that we have it. But it could remind him that a person once famously said that the litmus test of any true democracy is how well the majority treats its minorities. How well the majority treats its minorities.
Sorry, continue on, Councillor Hyland.
Yeah. Sorry. To me, that
Barry mentioned also the Easter Proclamation. I mean, I'm going to refer back to that, to what it said maybe 900 years ago, that the Republic, or any society, guarantees religious and civil liberty, equal rights and equal opportunities to all its citizens, and occurs its resolve to pursue the happiness and prosperity of the whole nation and all its parts, cherishing all the children of the nation equally. And I think that in itself is enough to support what Councillor Brown and Councillor Mackett here put forward before us tonight. And I know I certainly will be supporting them in this regard. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Highland. Councillor Walker.
Thank you, Chair. I've also listened to the debate. I wasn't going to speak tonight on it. But I do feel that, you know, it is a democratic chamber. Everyone is allowed to have their say, and I think everyone should be allowed to vote with their conscience. Should we vote against it, and I will be voting against it, that I'm not against, because I voted against it, doesn't mean that I'm opposed to the gay lesbian community. I have to say that myself, my own family, I have a number of gay lesbian relatives, very close relatives, so I do. I love them as much as I love other members of my family. I love being in their company when we're out maybe at parties and weddings and things like that there. That doesn't make me homophobic, because I believe that a marriage is between one man and one woman. It's my belief. I believe in the Bible and what it states in the Bible. Now, I'm not a church-going Christian, but I believe in the Bible, and I believe that is what marriage is about. So I should be allowed to have that view in relation to marriage. And because I vote against this motion, it doesn't make me out to be homophobic. So it doesn't. But that's the way anybody that votes against this motion tonight has been made out lately in the press, that we're homophobic because we're against this motion tonight. I'm not against the gay and the lesbian community. As I said, I have a lot of family members, I have a lot of friends in that, are part of that community, and as I said, I love them family members as much as I love my other family members who are straight, so I do. So I think we should be allowed to have our debate, which we have, and that, and I am disappointed in some of the things that Councillor Brown has stated tonight in relation to some of the facts. But just because I and other members in this chamber tonight vote against it doesn't make me homophobic.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Councillor Brown, can I ask you to sum up?
Instead of going for another lengthy speech, I'll just try and respond to some of the points that were raised there. I think I already covered Harry's points. Marriage is not just a Christian tradition, it is for everyone across the world, atheists, Muslims, Hindus, everybody. Henry, I tried to field most possible objections to this motion in my speech, trying to preempt as much as possible, but you've absolutely managed to outdo yourself this time, and I did not see your points coming. You're absolutely right. We are redefining marriage, just like we did when we made it one woman, one man, instead of men and his property, as it often was in the Old Testament. We redefined society in the south of the US. We redefined society in South Africa. No, not me personally, I was not born. We redefined society in Northern Ireland in 1998. The unsafe sex comments are disgusting and irrelevant. I'm fascinated by where you got your facts from, and I think I will be forever haunted by your comments. I think you're swimming against a very strong tide here. Harold, most Christians today follow the New Testament, I like to think, and Jesus taught us to love and respect one another. He never mentioned anything against homosexuality. He was much angrier with actual problems like feeding the starving and campaigning against moneylenders. Gareth, 300 people objected to it. I was there in Belfast when 20,000 people marched on the streets to support this issue. What? All together? Where? No. I think Gareth is confusing the wider enfranchisement of marriage with its demise, which does not make any logical sense. Also, plenty of relationships were actually polygamous in the Old Testament. if we want to take a biblical interpretation of marriage. Cadogan, on civil partnerships, there are important differences, both practically and emotionally. Pension shares are lower if a civil partner passes away. Rights are dramatically different if travelling to another country. Adultery is not grounds for dissolution in a civil partnership. It is not available to straight couples, leading to forced outing when filling out forms. And finally, and perhaps most importantly, why should same-sex couples have to settle for anything less? That is the fundamental issue here. By only endorsing civil partnerships, we are sending a clear message that their relationship is inferior. And well done on bringing parity of esteem in, although your comments are nearly as irrelevant as Henry's. Alliance has been campaigning to keep the Human Rights Bill in the UK, as all Liberal parties always will. I think your interpretation of our party manifesto is severely misguided on this issue. Also, I deliberately did not mention Alliance or party politics throughout the entirety of my speech, and I never intended to. Terry, thank you for your support here, although I don't know if Henry VIII and Idi Amin are the best role models to look to for an interpretation of marriage. Glyn, what is enough for the gay community? Equality is enough. They want equal rights. They want access to the same things that we have access to in their relationships. Simple as that. In 20 years, come back to me on this issue and let's have a chat about whether we view it the same as civil rights in the US or not. Billy, you're absolutely able to have your belief, and I would never brand you a homophobe. It is all a matter of perspective and social conditioning on this issue, I believe. Where your mind lies in this matter, it changes. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Councillor Brown. Councillor Brown, because you moved the motion, you were given an opportunity to sum up. I'm not going to open it up to the, up to other comments from the floor. We had
No, sorry.
You moved the motion, and on that basis, you were summing up. It's not open for any more commentary. So we're going to a vote. We've called for a recorded vote here at the front. Okay. Councillor Brown, would you be happy, please, once again, can you read out the motion just for clarity?
Searching your facts. That this council believes that all couples in Newry, Mourne and Down and across Northern Ireland, regardless of sexual orientation, should have the right to a civil marriage. That the rights of religious institutions to define, observe and practice marriage within their belief should be given legal protection. That faith groups which wish to marry same-sex couples should not be prevented by the state from doing so. That all married couples of the same sex should have the same legal entitlement to the protections, responsibilities, rights, obligations and benefits afforded by the legal institution of marriage, and calls on the Minister of Finance and Personnel to introduce legislation to extend civil marriage provisions to same-sex couples.
Thank you, Councillor.
Okay, Chairman, just to go through the, for the recorded vote, just go through colleagues, councillors' name, for and against the motion. So, Councillor Andrews.
For.
Councillor Bailey.
For.
Councillor Patrick Brown.
For.
Councillor Robert Burgess. Absent. Councillor Stephen Burns.
For.
Councillor Michael Carr.
Abstain.
Councillor Casey.
For.
Councillor Patrick Clark.
For.
Councillor William Clark.
For.
Councillor Gareth Craig.
Against.
Councillor Dermot Curran.
Against.
Councillor Laura Devlin. Recorded as abstain. Councillor Laura Devlin.
For.
Councillor Geraldine Donnelly.
For.
Councillor Sean Doran.
For.
Councillor Sinead Ennis. Absent. Councillor Enright.
For.
Councillor Gillian Fitzpatrick.
For.
Councillor Glenn Hanna.
Against.
Councillor Valerie Hart.
For.
Councillor Harry Harvey.
Against.
Councillor Terry Hardy.
For.
Councillor Davy Highland. Councillor Liz Kimmins.
For.
Councillor Michael Larkin.
For.
Councillor Kate Lockern.
For.
Councillor Declan McAteer. Councillor Kevin McAteer.
For.
Councillor Colin McGrath.
For.
Councillor Harry McKee.
Yes.
Councillor Rushing McGrew. Councillor Mark Mornin.
Absolutely.
Councillor Paula Gribben. Councillor Barrow Murray. Councillor Brian Quinn. Councillor Henry Ray.
Yes.
Councillor Michael Rowan. Councillor Gary Sarvin
is absent.
Councillor Gary Stokes. Councillor David Taylor. Councillor Tinley. Councillor Walker. Chairman, it's carried. 27 for, 7 against, 3 abstentions.
Motion is carried. Okay, members, on to item number 26. Earlier in proceedings, a number of councillors declared a conflict of interest here. So.
Okay,
proposed, yep. Do I need a seconder?
Yeah. Okay. So that's one of the minutes.
Yep, accepted. Thank you, Councillor Riley. On behalf of the board. Thank you.